United Airlines had planned to place about 2,000 employees on unpaid leave for seeking an exemption from its vaccine mandate. But a federal judge in Texas is temporarily putting that plan on hold. Meanwhile, pilots at Southwest and American Airlines have also gone to court to try to block their employers' vaccine mandates, citing, among other concerns, that the vaccine's side effects could make them medically unable to fly. NPR's David Shaper reports.
In order to fly a commercial jetliner, pilots like American Airlines' Dennis Tager must repeatedly meet strict physical fitness standards.
About every 6 months for a captain like myself, we have to go through a physical and of course, report any issues if we have had any since our last physical.
Tager is a spokesman for American's Pilots Union and is one of about 10,000 American Airlines pilots who are fully vaccinated. But
some of our pilots, we have about 4,000, are holding off on it because many of them are concerned about long-term effects of the vaccine.
The pilots' unions at both American and Southwest note that the FAA prohibits pilots from flying for 48 hours after getting a COVID vaccine shot because of potential short-term side effects, including fever, aches, and other flu-like symptoms. Tager says some pilots are concerned there could also be long-term side effects that could cause them to fail their physicals and lose their medical certification.
Because once you lose your FAA medical, you're not flying. Your career's over.
But numerous medical experts say such concerns are completely unfounded.
Right now, on the basis of literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of vaccinations that we've had, the safety of these vaccines have been clearly established.
White House Chief COVID-19 Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci.
I'm sure there is a very, 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 very rare exception, but the long-term effects are really essentially non-existent.
And Fauci says the short and long-term effects of getting sick with COVID-19 are much more career-threatening.
Getting COVID is far, far worse than getting vaccinated, for absolutely certain.
And it should be noted that pilots are already required to get other vaccines, especially those who fly internationally. Travel industry analyst Henry Hartevelt notes that many of the pilot protests against vaccine mandates are in states like Texas and Florida, where there is widespread political opposition to the mandates. But he says vaccines are fundamental to the airline industry's recovery.
These vaccines enable people to travel more freely. They allow borders that have been closed to reopen.
Nonetheless, some pilots and some other American Airlines employees protested the vaccine mandate outside of the company's Fort Worth headquarters last week. Meanwhile, Southwest Pilots Union President Casey Murray denies that pilots there staged a sick out in protest this past weekend when an operational meltdown forced the airline to cancel thousands of flights. And he told NPR that the union did not take Southwest to court because pilots are anti-vaccine.
It was really to force the company to come and talk to us. We've had almost zero discussions with them over the past 10 months of what we all knew was coming, which was a mandate.
But Murray warns that if the courts don't block the vaccine mandate and Southwest fires the pilots who refused to get vaccinated by December 8th, that could lead to many more flight cancellations over the busy holiday season. David Shaper, NPR News.
You keep it going, man. You keep those books rolling. You pick up all those books that you're going to read and not remember, and you roll, man. You get that associate's degree, okay? Then you get your bachelor's. Then you get your master's. Then you get your master's master's. Then you get your doctorate. You go, man. And then when everybody says quit, you show them those degrees, man. When everyone says, hey, you're not working, you're not making any money, you say, you look at my degrees, and you look at my life. Yeah, I'm 52. So what? Hate all you want, but I'm smart. I'm so smart, and I'm in school. These guys out here making money all these ways, and I'm spending mine to be smart. You know why? Because when I die, buddy, you know what's going to keep me warm? That's right, those degrees.
The higher your degree, the more money you'll make. That's something high school students hear all the time. But now a new study suggests it may not always be the best advice, as NPR's Alyssa Nadworny reports.
When I reach Isis Harris on the phone, she's still thinking about work, running some low-voltage wire underneath the floor at her latest job site.
It's a new construction, so it's been from the ground up. It's going to be big. I mean, it is big. It is big already.
Harris is a few months away from completing her training as an electrician in Portland, Oregon.
The walls are pretty much standing, but the inside of the building is still requiring work. Hold on just a minute, baby.
That's Dominance, her 2-year-old son you hear in the background. Isis Harris did not know back in high school, when she was imagining her life, that she'd work in the electrical field. Back then, everyone around her was super focused on college.
It was definitely like college was the thing that was like the big thing, you know, like in high school, that was like what the big excitement was around.
After meandering for about a decade with some college and lots of different jobs, Harris took a course designed to sample different types of jobs in the construction industry. One of the activities they did was wire a light bulb.
I did it correctly and the light came on. I was like, this is it. Like the light came on for me. That was the trade for me.
Her current wages calculate out to be about $80,000 a year. When she becomes a licensed journeyman electrician in December, she'll be in a job that pays $100,000 a year or more. That's a lot more than the median bachelor's degree holder makes in the U.S., which between 2017 and 2019 was $65,000. A new study from Georgetown University's Center on Education and the Workforce finds a growing number of people without a bachelor's degree, like Isis Harris, are now out-earning those with one. Now, nobody's saying bachelor's degrees are a bad investment or that you should stop learning after high school. You can just be smarter about the choices you make.
The level of education matters less.
Tony Carnevale directs the Center on Education and the Workforce and was one of the report's authors.
Where you go matters less, which makes this whole experience and the set of decisions students have to make a lot more complicated.
He points to a student's field of study, the type of job they're training for, as factors that affect earnings more than type of degree.
Your specific education has value, and the value varies enormously. That's why somebody who can do air conditioning will make more than somebody who becomes a school teacher.
And it's not just air conditioning. Air traffic controllers, construction inspectors, respiratory therapists all earn more than or about the same as the median bachelor's degree holder. To find jobs that pay well and don't need a bachelor's degree, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics offers a tool called the Occupational Outlook Handbook. It sorts career options based on average pay, the level of education needed, and how much the profession is expected to grow over the next 10 years. When Isis Harris in Portland thinks back to high school, she could have used a tool like that, or more support from a school counselor.
I think there was always a misconception about trades workers and skilled trades and the viability of that career.
No one ever mentioned apprenticeships back then. That's how Harris got her training to become an electrician. A career, she says, that helps her feel fulfilled both physically and mentally.
You get to create what needs to happen in this room. And at the end of the day, you look back and you've completed this apartment unit, or you've completed this office space, or you've installed this fire alarm system.
Having the job security that comes from working in an in-demand field with wages that allow her to support herself and her 2-year-old son, means Harris can do some financial planning. She can save, be prepared for emergencies. That's a much better life, she says, than living paycheck to paycheck. Alyssa Nadworny, NPR News.
Let me go back to John Gruden, who's been in the news this week after apologizing for sending several offensive emails in 2011, including one that used a racial trope about the executive director of the NFLPA, Damaris Smith. Gruden addressed that situation after the game today.
You know, I'm not going to answer all these questions today. I think I've addressed it already. I can't remember a lot of the things that transpired 10 or 12 years ago, but I stand here in front of everybody apologizing. I know I'm not, I don't have an ounce of racism in me. I'm a guy that takes pride in leading people together. And I'll continue to do that for the rest of my life. And again, I apologize to D. Smith and anybody out there that I have offended.
Tony, your reaction to this story?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit pregame. What John Gruden did in that email, definitely insensitive, definitely inappropriate, definitely immature. I thought he attacked the character of a man, but he apologized for it. He said it wasn't racially motivated. I have to believe him. And I think this was an incident that was 10 years ago. He apologized. I think we need to accept that apology and move on.
And we'll reiterate what was shared on Football Night in America, the 2011 timeline. That's when John and I were calling Monday Night Football, and we were partners for 7 years and traveled the country together. And I'm as close personally with John as probably anybody who I've been around in the league, given the length of the relationship. And I can echo what Tim Brown said in a SiriusXM satellite radio interview in the last 24 hours or so. I never saw or heard anything that you would say there was a racial tone to it in any way from John over time. That doesn't mean that what was in the email was right. It was wrong. He has said as much, repeated that after the game today. But that's just personal observation and trying to be candid with our audience. Let me bring Mike Florio back in one more time. Mike, you have talked to the league about what, or you're listening to the folks around the league about what might be the next step internally and league-wide regarding this matter.
Yeah, Mike, plenty of discussion, as you can imagine, all weekend long about this story that broke late Friday afternoon. The league office has a Monday morning meeting every week. This definitely will be one of the topics that will be addressed, and it will surely be addressed at length. There are some in the league office who believe that John Gruden won't be suspended by the league. It presumably would fall under the personal conduct policy. But here's the reality. He wasn't working for the league or any of the teams when this happened. Same thing is with the Raiders, who could take action against him. He was not employed by the Raiders back in 2011 when the email was sent. The league made a very strong statement condemning the email, but as a practical matter, this happened at a time when he wasn't employed by the league, wasn't employed by any of its teams. Makes it very difficult for the league or the Raiders to do anything about it now.
So that conversation will continue. We'll continue to keep an ear on that.
Las Vegas Raiders head coach John Gruden resigned last night. This was after a New York Times report revealed years of emails containing his sexist, misogynist, and homophobic comments about players, referees, cheerleaders, union leaders. You know, there was a time when Gruden was the young, smiling face of pro football. In addition to being a Super Bowl-winning coach, he also had worked as a color commentator for Monday Night Football, and at one point, he was the highest-paid personality on ESPN. Well, now Gruden is gone, but as Kavitha Davidson of The Athletic says, there are still plenty of Grudens in the NFL's sphere of influence. She joins us now via Skype. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hi. So you open your piece with, you know, look, it's not just John Gruden. It's not just limited to one person. Tell us, how do we know that?
Well, I think, first of all, anyone who has covered this league for as long as I have, I've been in this business for about 8 years now, can just tell you that these are the kinds of things that are said in quiet, in private, at the bar, that kind of thing. I would say being ashamed of saying things like this or repudiating things like this has not been the norm until now. And it's actually, yeah. I don't know 10 years ago if John Gruden has to resign over something like this. That being said, I think just from a practical level, John Gruden was sending these emails to people that he knew wouldn't repudiate him for the kind of language he was using. One of the main recipients of these emails was Bruce Allen, the former GM of the Washington football team.
Right.
And he knew he had a sympathetic ear there. So I think that anybody is kidding themselves to think that this is isolated to one man.
Yeah. And as we understand it, the NFL, you know, they had been sending these emails from Gruden to the Raiders. Did they say what they were trying to accomplish in doing that? Curious.
Not really. You know, so these emails came out in the midst of an investigation into the Washington football team's toxic culture, which came about after reports of sexual harassment and abuse from the front office there and also by members of the media. So that's a really important point here, because aside from the racism and the homophobia and the misogyny that was in the language that was used in these emails, Gruden and some of the people he was sending these emails to were also sharing topless photos of women, including cheerleaders, including NFL employees. And that's really important to keep in mind.
Well, the big question, Kavitha, I mean, how should the NFL address this? Is there any way the NFL can truthfully distance themselves from Gruden when Gruden is such a product of the league, right?
Well, he's absolutely a product of the league. He was the highest paid coach. He was in the middle of a 10-year, $100 million contract when he resigned last night. So, the first thing that the NFL needs to do, and I don't think they're going to do this, but, you know, the New York Times uncovered some of these emails among a trove of 650,000 emails that league officials had to go through in the course of their investigation into Washington. There are a lot of people, myself included, who think the NFL should release their findings from that investigation and from those emails. They had said several months ago when they concluded their investigation that they would not, due to the, quote, sensitive nature of what they uncovered. Huh. And I'm really not sure if what they uncovered could be worse than what all of us are imagining might be in there if we don't see what they actually found.
Well, can we talk about something a little deeper? Why do you think it seems the NFL just can't walk the walk, even though they are trying ostensibly to talk the talk? What's going on there?
The NFL is first and foremost a league that is run by its owners. I would say that in the NBA, for example, it's much more of a player-driven league. The NFL is an old boys club, as I wrote in my column. The owner, everything is kind of controlled from the top down. And the second reason is, and this is not unique to the NFL, but the NFL is particularly beholden to its sponsors. The Washington Football Team and owner Dan Snyder didn't change their name because of suddenly realizing that name was racist. They had real sponsorship pressure from Pepsi and Nike to do and FedEx to do so. So those factors kind of combine, along with the fact that the ownership group in the NFL tends to be more politically conservative, frankly, and more beholden to these kinds of notions that this kind of language is okay, or that sensitivity to things that we deem offensive now are just a sign of the times, of cancel culture, of people getting soft or what have you. So I think that it's really hard for the NFL to grapple with all of that and to reconcile that with the fact that their fan base is going toward a younger and more progressive place.
That is Kavitha Davidson of The Athletic. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So here it is. Following the emergence of more offensive emails from the past 10 years, John Gruden has resigned as head coach of the Raiders. In a statement, Gruden said, quote, "I love the Raiders and do not want to be a distraction. Thank you to all the players, coaches, staff, and fans of Raider Nation. I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone." Shannon, this all happened last night, and you've had an evening to think about it. Your reaction to this?
Well, I'm not surprised. I believe this was Mark Davis's only choice that he had. I'm surprised that Mark Davis had these emails on Friday, and while he allowed John Gruden to coach.
Thank you.
Because he thought this was going to blow over. He had no idea that this thing was gaining speed like a truck going downhill at 60 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. So this was his only choice, and it gave him an opportunity to get out from under that albatross of a contract, because John Gruden was never going to pay that contract off with Super Bowls. Skip, and I have John Gruden's statement here. He says, "I resigned as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I love the Raiders and do not want to be a distraction. Thank you to all the players, coaches, and staff, and fans of Raider Nation. I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt anyone." John Gruden. Mm. "Not to offended groups. I want to apologize for my hurtful and insensitive remarks. I realize that my comments hurt a lot of people. And I want to sincerely, not I didn't mean, yes, you did, because the people that when you use those terms, you might have didn't mean to hurt those groups, but you meant those in a derogatory way when you were describing the people that you were talking about. Come to Skip, you're a head coach, and I granted, obviously he didn't know at the time that he was going to go back to coaching, and he's going to have an openly gay player on his roster. I said, we talked about this yesterday, Skip. I said it's going to be very hard for him to stand before all those black men, having said that, and lead effectively.
Yep.
I'm like, and I had a bad moment. Come to find out, you had 7 years of bad moments. I don't have one racist bone in my body. I don't know how many racist bones you got, but I know you got a very insensitive and a racist tongue in your mouth. Yep. We do know that.
And so, the emails took place over seven
over
years.
Over 7 years. So
through 2018.
So think about this, Skip. So it's not a, he said he had a bad moment.
Yeah.
Come to find out, you had 7 years of bad moments over a period of time where you used this. Now, I don't want people to think that John Gruden is the only one. Now, there's a lot of people in NFL offices scrubbing emails right now. That's what they do, Skip, because this is the way you talk amongst friends. What would possess you to send that? Now, I'm sure, Skip, he did not think the person that he was sending to would be in the organization that would be the focus of a criminal probe. He had no idea that was going to happen.
Yep.
Now, this might be collateral damage. This might be something more serious out there that they didn't let out, and John Gruden had to go down for this one. Because it's hard for me to believe. Of 650,000 emails, this all you got? Ain't got nothing on the owner? But we'll talk about that. I'm sure we're going to talk about this another day on the time, Skip. That's coming down the pipeline. He clearly does not feel that what had transpired should have cost him his job. He doesn't want to be a distraction. Damn what he said, Skip. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to be a distraction. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm sorry for what I've said.
Yeah.
Not that I shouldn't have said this. But I don't want to be a distraction. And right now I'm being a distraction. Skip, I just don't get it. This is John Gruden. This is who he is. Now, I need all those. See, now, I had a problem with this. It seems to me a lot of his former and current players, a lot of his current and former coaches, and a lot of colleagues rushed to his defense. Now, I need them to rush to the defense of the people that he offended when he was sending those emails. The blacks, the LGBTQ community, and the women. I need them to stand up for them like they stood up for John Gruden yesterday and the day before and the day before that. Yep. Where are they now? Ain't nobody saying nothing about them. It was old poor John Gruden. Oh, man, this is not the John I... Skip, just one time. Have you ever heard somebody say something racist? Something misogynistic? Something homophobic? And say, yeah, that's who I am? Or do they always say, that's not me? I don't have that type of bone in my body. Just one time I want somebody to tell the truth. Skip, when you come with an apology offer without explanation, all he had to do was say, I was wrong. I said some things that I shouldn't have said, but as I told you yesterday, Skip, I said he's trying to get out in front of something. I say something more serious is coming down the pipeline. I had no idea what the information that Mark Davis had already had, but I knew it was when somebody says, I might have said some other things too, when no dry snitching on himself to try to go ahead and get out in front of it. But Skip, this was the only thing that could have Mark Davis could have done. There is no way, because he was going to try and survive this, because not only is John Gruden his coach, he's a very close friend of Mark Davis.
Yep.
And so with that being said, he's going to try to salvage it. But he just couldn't. He knew it. The fallout was too great, and he did the only thing that he could. But don't think that he wanted to do this. I don't want people patting Mark Davis on the back. This was the only route that he could take. Mm. It was the only door that would open, and he walked through it.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to start where you finished with Mark Davis. I had the privilege of getting to know his father, the late, great Al Davis. And he had his faults, did Mr. Davis.
Yes.
But those faults, including being anti-league, because he was the ultimate original Maverick. He had a little outlaw in him.
He did.
But he rebelled against the league for reasons that you could argue were in some ways justified. Mm-hmm. And yet, when it came to being progressive as a thinker and a doer, he led the way.
Mm-hmm.
And all I know is that I covered Mr. Davis's Raiders from about 2001. It was Chucky's time there, Gruden's time, through 04-ish. And you realize who his right-hand person was in that franchise.
Yeah, Bruce Allen.
No. No, we got to up one more.
Oh.
Amy Trask.
Okay, yes.
So,
okay, yeah.
Al Davis was the first that I know of to say, I want a woman to be my right hand.
Yes.
To be.
I worked with her at CBS.
Yes. Okay, you did.
I forgot about that. I know Amy very well.
Okay, but she was there starting in 1997. He elevated her into the primary position beneath him. Now, Bruce Allen was there, who became the confidant and cohort of John Gruden.
Correct.
As the buffer between Al and John.
Correct.
And remember, those two, Al Davis and John Gruden, they began to clash right away.
Yes.
And there were some, I witnessed the end of one coming off the practice field. They would have out and out screaming matches on the practice field in front of the players. But Al Davis was very progressive when it came to open-minded thinking that was not prevalent in the early days of the National Football League.
Arshel.
Yeah, thank you. Arshel.
He went to historically black institutions in college and got players.
Okay. And Al Davis did.
Al Davis did,
and he hired Arshel to be his head coach.
He was very progressive in his thing.
I can't remember, was Art the first?
In the modern era.
Yes, he was in the modern era. That is correct. Okay, so you got to give the father high marks.
Absolutely.
High marks.
Yes.
The son, not so much.
Right.
He chased John Gruden for about 7 years while John was the primary voice on Monday Night Football for ESPN.
Correct.
And finally landed him in 2018 for, as you pointed out, $10 million a year for 10 years.
Yes.
Historic contract.
Correct.
And you would think that having associated with John as long as he did, he kind of grew up, they were like brothers,
right,
you could argue.
Right.
That he would know John's mindset, off-camera mindset.
Of course.
He would socially sort of know what he was made of, what he was all about. Now, I've told you, I got to know John a little bit in my days at ESPN, and I was with him in some casual settings, but they were ESPN sort of party settings.
Right.
And I think he was careful with what he was saying, but he could really talk ball. And that's why, and obviously, he was really good on television.
Yes.
And I do not doubt, and we'll get to this a little later, I do not doubt that John will pop back up at some point on television somewhere.
I don't know how, Skip.
Okay, there'll be some network that will have a place for that. Mm-hmm. I just warn you, it will come at some point. It may be 5 years from now, but after it, quote unquote, blows over, I don't know how you can. He touched every bay. I don't know how many. What's left to offend? Maybe some religious groups.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm disappointed that Mark Davis could take so long, and I think even Adam Schefter was reporting the league was beside itself waiting because the ball was in his court.
Yes.
We talked yesterday. How do you punish him? Well, he's punished himself. He's tarnished his legacy.
Right.
And I just thought it was any moment now Mark Davis will say, well, I can't go forward, because how did the team respond in Sunday's game against the Chicago Bears?
They laid an egg.
They laid an egg because their hearts were no longer in it, because they said all the right things as far as supporting Gruden, because I think they were afraid of him, frankly. And again, some of his ex-players, the great Tim Brown, said, not one time did he ever make me feel any certain type of way. And everybody defended him. Mike Tirico on NBC, Tony Dungy on NBC. They said what he said was wrong, but let's forgive and forget and go forward. We had no idea the avalanche that was about to hit.
But think about it, Skip, and this is another point that I wanted to make. When he said this about the black, it's about give and forgive and forget. When he made those homophobic, when those gay slurs, when he said what he said about women, that was a bridge too far. All I'm saying is that
I told you yesterday, I thought the bridge too far had already been crossed.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, but it wasn't. And the black players showed you, or at least black and white players, all of the players showed you on Sunday, their hearts were no longer in supporting this guy.
But Skip, if you think about it, it wasn't the outrage. It was a little bit of outrage. And he tried to explain it away, says I was basically saying D. Smith is a liar.
Yeah.
But when it came to these misogynistic, when it came to these other, these homophobic, now all of a sudden the groundswell. And what I'm saying is, I believe all minorities should be treated equally. The LGBTQ community shouldn't carry more weight than the women community or the black community or the Asian community. And it seems to be, that seems to be what's happening, Skip, because the groundswell wasn't like it was when he said that, what he said about D. Smith. Everybody's like, well, you know, that might have been. But when it came to the other group, Lord, that's a bridge too far. We can't cross that one.
But I apologize. I don't want to keep addressing it.
Well, you're going to keep addressing it. What you mean you don't want to keep addressing it? It came out your damn mouth to an email. See, when people start saying stuff like that, Max and Jay, that pisses me off. You don't want to keep addressing it. No, you're going to keep addressing it until such due time you don't have to anymore. And I don't know when that's going to be. Because that email was very disturbing. Here's a guy that I won a Super Bowl with and I played with. And I have my issues with him, okay? Well documented. But at the same time, what he said about D. Smith is disturbing. It's unacceptable. And this is why, in this country, we are in a position that we are in as human beings, not only human beings, but as African Americans, because we gloss over these sort of things and act like it's not that big of a deal. I just wrote a book, The Forgotten First, talks about these same damn issues back in 1930. And here we are in 2021 still dealing with the same thing. Yeah, it was 11 years ago. It shouldn't be that big of a deal. Everybody makes mistakes. Really? Everybody makes mistakes, huh? But not only do you mock the size of an African-American's lips, you also degrade owners in the National Football League, as well as the commissioner. My concentration ain't only you talk bad about a black man. You're also talking about bad about people that own teams, run the league, the commissioner of the league, because he's a bad person. I tried to tell people this when I played for this man, but I was in the wrong. Keyshawn just a spoiled brat. Oh, Keyshawn just a diva. Oh, Keyshawn just wants the football. But here we are now, however many years later, and stuff is coming to the surface. I'm not going to let it just disappear because I was the bad guy, Jay. I was the one. I was the problem. Get him out of town. He's disruptive. But when you say stuff, people don't want to listen. They think it's all about you. And now look what we're dealing with. We're dealing with some race-insensitive behavior by a head coach who many thought didn't even deserve the opportunity to coach the Raiders. But guess what? He did. And now this is what we're dealing with. And you got to deal with that locker room. We saw yesterday on the football field what that locker room turned out to be, which is an L. You don't think that was heavy on them black players and some of them white players' mind? Hell yeah, it was. Of course it was. That's why they went out there and laid an egg. That's exactly why.
I want to play that sound again. Obviously, Key is understandably.
He should. And,
by the way,
he
not
be.
Just Key.
He should be.
By
a
the
lot
way,
of people are.
When these kind of subjects come up, people, anyone who's socially conscious should have feelings about this. But listen to what Gruden said again, and then Jay, I'd like you to respond.
All I can say is I'm not a racist. I don't. I can't tell you how sick I am. I apologize again to D. Smith, but I feel good about who I am and what I've done my entire life. And I apologize for the insensitive remarks. I had no racial intentions with those remarks at all. But yes, they can. I'm not like that at all. But I apologize. I don't want to keep addressing it.
Two things, Key. First off, so Andrew Beaton is the writer for the Wall Street Journal that this story happened to fall upon. What I find interesting about this is out of the thousands of emails due to the investigation of the workplace of the Washington football team, that this is the one email that was leaked to Andrew Beaton of the Wall Street Journal. I find that very interesting. Thousands of emails talking about the workplace investigation of Daniel Snyder's organization of a toxic work environment. And over the course of time, it feels like the league has shielded him in the face of allegations a little bit because none of those details have leaked out.
He has him meaning who?
Daniel Snyder. The owner, right? He had an eight-figure payment that he had due to the league.
Wait, to be clear, you're saying that this email becomes public as a result of an investigation into the Washington football team and the toxic culture, which starts at the top, Daniel Snyder. But this is now made public about John Gruden.
Okay. I think that's fascinating to me. That's intriguing to me, right? Doesn't excuse John Gruden at all. Now to the John Gruden aspect of it. You know what I find crazy, Key, is I just refer to people the same way when I get angry. Oh, he's an a-hole. Oh, MF-er, right? That's the way John Gruden referred to Roger Goodell. But when you start referring to D. Smith as Michelin lips, to me, that's something that's subconsciously in your brain that you think is okay. In your state of fury. Like when you're in fury to a degree, you say things that you typically say. You don't come out and say things that you just don't say. These are things that have been programmed in your mind for a while. It was a racial trope. And my thing as a player, I don't know how the league's going to handle this, but as a player, regardless of whether I didn't hear you say that or not, the fact that I know that came from you in the midst of fury, I can't ride with you anymore.
No, you're not going to.
I can't ride with you anymore.
Look, this dude is who he is. He's a bad guy. He's a bad person. I can't call him a racist. I can't call him that, but I know what you used. I know what you said. That's what I do know. You know, how many people you hear say things and then say, well, that ain't me. That's not. Wait a minute, though, homie. You just said that. That came out your email, not my email. It didn't come. It went from your email to Bruce Allen's email. Okay? We know where it went to. And if you know anything at all, you know that that came from you. So trying to backpedal, clean it up, be dismissive, and tell people you're tired of talking about it, you ain't going to talk about it no more. No, you're going to talk about it.
You just started talking about it.
Until we're tired of talking about it.
Yeah, that's the thing, first of all.
You're not just going to brush over it. I don't give a damn what nobody say.
If you put that in an email, even if you harbor those kind of feelings, if you put that in an email, that is a curious choice. Then to whom, as Key points out, are you sending the email?
That's my point. To Bruce Allen.
To another white guy who's also, by the way, in a position of power. A powerful guy is going
back.
Man,
I don't even want Max. I don't even want to dive into the history of Bruce and his family.
Well, let's leave that alone.
I think that's the point, right? If there is an environment that is conducive to behavior and language like that.
No, it's not just, it's that you think whoever you're sending it to is a safe place to send
that's
a sentiment
point.
Like
yes.
that. For example, had he sent it to a friend of his who was, say, an African-American executive, right? Something like that. He could at least try to make the defense, oh, we are informal, we joke around with each other, whatever, even if it's inappropriate. I'm sorry, I thought it was a private email. You know, but he didn't. He sent it to someone who it seems he thought would be receptive to it on its face. And that's interesting to me. The points you guys have brought up are illuminating. One, Key said, and you hit it right on the head, the thing that, besides the offensive idea, the fact that he says, I don't want to keep addressing this.
No, but he's going to keep addressing
it. Right, Key, but he said it and he dismissed it like someone who has the power to say, look, at this point, you're harassing me. I've addressed it, and now it's over.
It goes all back to what we've been talking about as human beings, white privilege, man.
Yeah.
Okay? He's in that space. He thinks he can just say and do what the hell he wants to do. Because for too long, the people in the National Football League, the people who've been running these leagues, allowed him to do those things. Mm-hmm. Okay? When I played for him, we won a Super Bowl, he became the golden child. He couldn't do no wrong. It was everybody else's fault. But now what? He got caught with his hand in the damn cookie jar.
Yeah. And by the way, his defense is basically, his implicit defense, when he says, I feel good about what I've done my entire life, what I read into that is like, look, my behavior tells you I'm a good person. I don't harbor, you know, racial bigotry and all this kind of stuff in my own personality. But once he says, I don't want to keep addressing this, what it suggests is he's calling the shots. And if he does cross the line, that's okay. Once he says, he'll decide when the conversation's over. As Key mentions, no, he doesn't. Jay, as you mentioned, though, it's also very interesting that this was a look into a broader toxic culture in the Washington football franchise, which used to have a name that was offensive to many people for many years, and the owner stubbornly refused to change it. Why? Because he had the power. He had the money to buy the team, and he was in a position of power. And so even when you look at racism, there's a power dynamic. It's not simply
It's only a power dynamic if you allow it to be, Max.
White guests only. White guests only. Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Friday, October 15, 2021. So I have been told. This is our weekly compensatory call-in, dial-in. If you have observations, thoughts, counter-racist suggestions to share, the number 720-716-7300, the code 564 *943#. Press *61 if you would like to participate. That number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943#. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Whew. This is not Sports Talk Radio. Be very explicit about that. I am sure there were many, many important things that happened this week, even specifically with regards to labor. Many, many important things happened over the past 7 days or so since we did our last workplace racism segment. However, the situation with John Gruden, there was so much attention on this issue, and fascinating, at least to Gus T, for so many reasons, both about racism, white supremacy in general, and specifically about the workplace. That was why we spent a little bit of extra time going through some of the different segments. I'll try to explain the significance of the reports that we heard with all of that as we go. But no, this is not Sports Talk Radio. All of this is normally what we do at this time, neutralizing workplace racism. Now, the reports that we heard before we got to all the John Gruden-related material, we heard about United, make sure I get my airline straight, where they were doing they have implemented the vaccine mandate, and then they had all these flights that got delayed earlier in the week, and they talked to one of the union representatives and said, hey, this was not some sort of COVID shutdown and all that, and there are lawsuits about the vaccine mandate. But that's not what this was. People had sick leave and other issues, and, you know, there are problems and all that that they're trying to address. And they even went on to say, hey, if they do go through with this vaccine mandate and you have all of these labor disruptions where people are getting fired or whatever else is happening, you could have a lot of cancellations heading into the conclusion of the year. Somebody has already been saying no unnecessary travel. This would just further contribute to why, hey, no Christmas, no Thanksgiving, nothing. Emergency comes up, okay, and like I said, you want an early flight, no layovers, direct. But that's if, like, emergency, something happens you got to do. Other than that, nah. No flying this calendar year, maybe even the early part of next year. Way too much chaos. Incidentally, all of the attention that has been focused on unvaccinated black people in Nurse Rivers, attention on Kyrie Irving and black people don't want to get the vaccine, I have said repeatedly, there are droves of white people. They are talking about right here in Seattle. I think I've shared it. They are talking about having to cut ferry services. Seattle is right on the – I've been at the beach all summer. It's on the water. They have lots of ferries here in Seattle. They have lots of islands around Seattle. Some people take ferries. That's their commute, is on the ferry every day. They're talking about mass cuts of ferry services, which could disrupt, you know, a lot of white people who have nice homes, disrupt their commute and all of that because there are so many workers, ferry workers, don't want to get vaccinated. They were talking about firefighters in Washington State, police officers. That was in the paper today. They were talking about having to do emergency dispatch because they've already had, they said, hit to morale. They had the CHAZ last summer, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone and all that malarkey about racist police and defund the police. So they had bad morale. Seattle Police Department was under consent decree anyway for mistreating non-white people. So they say bad morale and people didn't want that job anyway. And now with COVID and all the rest of it, like they said, and the vaccine and all this. So, yeah, they're talking about that they might have to do emergency dispatch of service. If they are, I think I told you all last week, they had approximately 1/3 of Seattle Police Department has not, or at least as of last week, had not submitted the proper paperwork to show proof that they were in fact vaccinated. All of the attention on black people, it's droves of individuals classified as white who are defiant, said that the whole way through. Let's see. So we heard about the pilots, and then we heard the report about, hey, you do not have to get that college degree and spend all that money or do all that bogus stuff like Varsity Blues and go out and pretend that you did water polo so you can get in on all the rest of it. That, hey, there are occupations that do not require all that where you can go out and make an excellent salary. White people tend to do a really good job hiding those occupations and the steps needed to do that. Share with young people, let them know. Even I think they said if you're going to do the college thing, you can be smart about it. Certainly, you don't have to do it at 18. They got here all the signs posted all over Seattle, the University of Washington, educating everyone from age 7 to 87. They have little pictures of little people around the campus doing this class and this class and all the way. So, I mean, yeah, you can do both. John Gruden, the racial bone. My goodness. So I talked about the racial bone last week when he gave his tacky apology. Some of those reports are interesting even more because of the timeline. Like, those reports were kind of spread out over a 4 or 5 day period as all of this was evolving. So John Gruden, hopefully we have lots of folks who don't watch football and all that brain damage. John Gruden, white man, head coach, one of probably the most well-paid football personnel ever, aside from the owners, making $10 million per year. Many of the players in the NFL don't make $10 million per year. $10 million per year contract for the now Las Vegas Raiders. These emails, and I have to say, man, it was said a few times throughout the report. I can't emphasize it enough. To me, I can only say two words. Ray Rice. The Cows has been on the air long enough. Ray Rice was fired from his job. The NFL had video footage of him brutalizing his now wife. They were girlfriend at the time. Totally incorrect behavior. First time, last time. But they had that. They had footage of this for months, and then they waited to release this in the middle of protests about Michael Brown Jr. and Eric Garner's deaths, no less, murders, no less. But then they released this footage, and oh, toxic black masculinity, and all the rest of it. I had to go back and listen a few times. Not 600 emails, not 6,000 emails. There are 650,000 emails. If there are that many emails, you got some racist jokes. Nigger, I'm sure. I mean, hey, let's go ahead and have it all. The Cows, we've been on the air long enough. Hey, we can go two for 2014 was a good year. Richie Incognito. Long after Ray Rice was gone and forgot. I don't remember anyone talking about toxic masculinity with Richie Incognito. White man down there with retired firefighter in Florida for the Miami Dolphins who employed him at the time. They released a big scathing report, like 150 pages, where you could go through, had an index, table of contents, and everything. Why don't you do that with these emails? That's not what they did. You just get a little bit here, a little bit there. They released a little bit more today. Why not just release the 650,000 emails? All of this, again, as they said in the report, is not because of they were investigating John Gruden. They were investigating the Washington Redskins for their toxic work environment. That's why I said all this is workplace racism. That's what started all of this. That's why I said, like, oh, man, let's just get the whole report. Don't tease me. We don't need an appetizer. Give us the full report, especially if you're talking about, ooh, This is sensitive. I don't even know what that means. Rubber lips wasn't sensitive. Michelin lips, that wasn't sensitive. Just give me the whole report. So that's huge. All of this was an investigation into the Washington Redskins franchise and their toxic workplace environment. Two, I don't think John Gruden should, I mean, if anybody, like, the Redskins should be worried about punishment. I was not of the opinion that John Gruden should have been punished. Now, he resigned, but forced resignation, termination, you know, potato, potato, whatever. John Gruden was not employed by the Raiders or even the NFL at this time when these emails were being sent back and forth. He was not on his workplace email. I don't know what jurisdiction you have, and I think this sets, like, a really bad precedent. Now, unless this is going to be applied to racists in general, like if we go back and we dig in your social media, your email account, and we find any, even on your personal, even if you weren't employed here, even if it's 10 years ago, and we find any trace of you writing and saying something racist or whatever they call homophobic and all the rest of it, you could be fired or severely disciplined. If that's the precedent that this sets, wow. All of us should be scrubbing email accounts and social media if that is the case. How are you going to punish someone? I didn't even work for y'all, and this is on my personal account. You have jurisdiction over my past personal email account as well? Wow. 650,000 emails. Let's just get the full report to know what was going on in the toxic workplace of the Washington Redskins. And these emails, by the way, were including other powerful white people, white journalists. That was what some of the reports that came out today. They had ESPN personnel that had to come out and issue an apology. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't know. And all the rest of this. The Hooters director was a part of this. I mean, powerful white men at just mega corporations, Fortune 500 corporations were a part of this email. That's why I said, like, hey, let's just lay it all out, you know. So they focus on John Gruden. In fact, could have been longer. There was a white man who said, it seems like John Gruden might have been the sacrifice in all of this. Been reading Neely Fuller Jr. They have. They do have white sacrifice, but he said that just within the last 48 hours, it seems like he might have been the sacrifice. Like, we'll just make him the fall person and get through this the best we can and divert attention away from exactly what else did you uncover in those 650,000 emails and the investigation. You pause right there. One nugget that they did share, John Gruden and others, part of the reason they had the investigation was the cheerleaders were being abused. They said John Gruden sharing pornographic images, cheerleaders with only a bikini bottom on. No porn at work. Said that before. Talked about someone getting in trouble for that, watching pornographic material on a workplace device. If you have a work issue computer, phone, tablet, certainly while you are anywhere on the work premises, wherever you work at, even if it's a vehicle, if you are in a company car, even if it's on your personal phone, no sharing, distributing, viewing pornographic material in the workplace or on work-owned property. That would include email accounts, social media accounts, none of that, and not emailing anybody else on their work email, because I think if John Gruden, if he had not been sending this to Bruce Allen, he was an employee of the Washington Redskins at the time, if he had not been emailing him on his Washington Redskins email account, he may have gotten through this. I'm not sure if this investigation would have got personal email accounts for these folks. I'm not sure. He might have got through, but at any rate, no sending pornographic material on your workplace email or to anybody else's workplace email. Now back to John Gruden. So these emails, part of this material comes out on Friday. See, that's the Ray Rice of this too. They could have just released all the emails at the same time. Yes, he said this about gay people, and he said this about black people and women and all the rest of it. Cursed out the league official, Roger Goodell, and all of it. Get it all out in the open. No, no, no. They didn't do it that way. Which, even more interesting, the response. So they released that on Friday. No punishment. He apologizes. I'm not a racist. No racial bone. Moving forward. Coaches the game on Sunday. They lose. Now, you heard talk about racial showcasing. They had Mike Tirico, who is a black male victim of racism, Tony Dungy, black male victim of racism, one of his offspring, a victim of suicide, very important. So they have these two non-white males, one white man. The two non-white people insist, Tony Dungy specifically, we have to believe him, forgive him, and move forward. Why do we have to believe him? I don't have to believe anybody. I don't think that's in the Bible. I've never heard that as a rule articulated on the plantation, that you have to believe such and under these circumstances, like the person who said rubber lips means that a person is a liar. When I said what, that doesn't make any sense at all. That's your justification, that you're not a racist, that you don't have a racial bone. I don't believe him. That doesn't even sound believable. I have to believe him? We have to forgive him and move forward? What? Once again, now, you pick out other incidents where there's been some sort of criminal activity, because that's what racism, white supremacy is, where it's immediate. The crime has happened. There hasn't even been a sentence. Immediately, well, we got to forgive, you know. Sure is sad what happened, but we got to forgive Jerry Sandusky. We got to forgive Bill Cosby. We got to forgive R. Kelly. I don't hear that. And I'm not saying that we should. I'm just saying, with this crime specifically, I would say exclusively, got to get a blame. Anything that's on television, I just assume there's a script. They may have been required to do this. I said this is racial showcasing. Sometimes it's scripted. So we go from Tony Dungy. We have to believe him. We have to forgive him. Victims guaranteed qualified. To Mike Tirico, another victim of racism. Hey, I worked with him. He never showed any of those tendencies. I never thought of him as a racist and all the rest. Immediate character witness. Does that happen for any other crime? Do they wheel people out immediately? Well, I was around Jerry Sandusky, and I never saw anything about him being after children and all these years. And consistently with white supremacy racism, generally it'll be a non-white person as well to come out. They had Tim Brown, all these players coming out, and he's not a racist, and I never heard anything, and he never said any racist. Victims guaranteed qualified to all of them. All I can say is this week I have asked lots of black people, did you know that the whole Shaft franchise was written by a white man, or based on a book written by a white man? Unanimously, everyone has said no. Apparently, black people are very, very, very confused about white supremacy racism. And unless a white person is saying nigger, we can have a hard time accepting, yes, this is a racist. So all that happened on Monday. John Gruden isn't fired. Ray Rice, next round of emails comes out. Uh-oh. Now he said something about gay people. Said queer specific. He was upset about them having to draft queer. Remember when Michael Sam, that was 2014 too. What a year. He was upset about, got to convince folks to draft these queers into the NFL. Nobody can. Glad didn't hold a press conference and say we need to get him sensitivity training. And, you know, what he said is reprehensible, but we forgive him. He doesn't have a homophobic bone in his body. That didn't happen. John Gruden was out of here the same day those emails came out on Monday. Shannon Sharp, victim of racism. He called attention to that explicitly. Like, wait a minute. Why wasn't he fired on Friday? All the rubber lips, Michelin lips, all that. And Damaris Smith, a fellow UVA alumnus. I didn't even know why. You don't go to graduate from UVA and be a dumb person. Even the black people that went there. Gus T, evidence of that, hopefully. But that wasn't enough to get, he's got all of these black people who are his subordinates on the team, coaching staff and players. That wasn't enough to, we had to forgive him then. That's why I said immediate experiment. You didn't hear white women stepping forward and say, I know he said some really misogynistic things, toxic masculinity on display once again, but hey, I forgive John Gruden. I know he's not a sexist. That didn't happen. He was out of there same day. Fascinating. I would like the rest of the emails. So they continue when they give a little bit more information. NPR, when they announced, so we went from Sunday, that was when we heard Mike Tirico, Tony Dungy, forgive, blah, blah, blah. Next day, all the rest of this comes out and he resigns. We heard the report from NPR. They're saying they begin the report that John Gruden resigns after sexist, misogynistic, homosexual emails. This report was on Tuesday. He resigned Monday evening. Racism has been totally removed. Sexist, misogynistic, homosexual, and that's even a double. Like they could have bumped one out. Like, you got to get both of them. It can't just be sexism or misogyny. Got to get both of those, and we'll get to the racism thing later. Happens consistently with that conflation. The racism, white supremacy will get totally minimized, sometimes erased. They did bring up racism in the report, but that was way later, after making sure the focus of this is just misogyny, sexism, homophobia. That's where we're going to focus the detail on this. Standard operating procedure. Bigotry, even. We heard Keyshawn Johnson at the end, and I went specifically because so many people were talking about, oh, man, Keyshawn Johnson had been saying John Gruden was really lame for years. Wow, maybe he was right. I didn't know any of this. I don't follow football like that, and I really, you know, don't keep up with Keyshawn Johnson like that. So I went to hear his commentary. I was like, wow, so interesting. It is a reason that we're white guests only. The allow thing came in, but I was more focused. Max Kellerman, the white man, using the term bigotry there. And when Keyshawn Johnson was giving his commentary, Victims Guarantee Qualified, talking about John Gruden, he's not a good person. You know, he's been phony and false the whole time that I've known him. And you all are just seeing this to light that all of this is very believable, and saying that I'm not going to call him a racist, but I'm just evaluating your behavior. And I say the same thing. Don't call people racist. No name calling. But suspected white supremacist for sure. But I thought it was even important as well when Max was about to say, oh, Keyshawn is a little angry or a little emotional. Like, I always feel like that's done in a very patronizing way. You know, like we're just little emotional children. Like, we're just little emotional children who have to get rowdy and cause a ruckus, get upset. I feel like that's pretty consistent with racism, white supremacy, and the way that we get described. Anywho, again, not to focus all the attention on, this is not sports talk radio. All of that, very much in my opinion, workplace racism. The report that I'm waiting on should be all workplace racism. That's what it was about. Toxic workplace environment. No porn in the workplace or on your workplace email. And I guess be very careful about your personal, if anything, that stuck out to me quite a bit in all this. He wasn't even an employee of them at the time. I find that startling. Be careful with what you send on, especially don't be very mindful if you are emailing someone else on their business email. Anywho, the email again, untiljustice@gmail.com. Folks can write in. I'll get one of the emails, and then we'll get to callers, see if you have suggestions, thoughts, workplace issues, or if you have some workplace codification to share. So last week we had King Cobra, a black male victim of racism. He wrote in. He was talking about different components of white supremacy racism that he faced in the workplace, them terrorizing his food, which I found abysmal. And just trying to counter that as best he can. I hope he made a report to the health department. He wrote in this week, follow-up. Hello, Gus and listeners. I've had a chance to hear the program, and I thank you all for your constructive information. I have been slacking, and yes, I should not have been eating there after the red flags. That's what I said to talk about the food. Let's see. Funds were low when I first arrived at the school, but now I am on the payroll. Bravo. I will reach out to the proper health and safety company. I have to wait until I get my CDL first because I truly believe they will kick me out of school. That is intelligent. I will not share any more information about the religious practices because I have noticed they do ask a lot of questions after I say this. That's what we talked about last week for listeners. He was saying that this was about food. And he was saying that he eats a plant-based diet, and he said he told them that you all don't have any food options that I can eat. It's against my religious practices. And we were saying last week, probably wouldn't share that. I think I was saying try not to share unnecessary information. And just as he said, oh, man, that's going to be grounds for a whole lot of questions. What is your religious practice, and what are you allowed to eat? How long have you been practicing? Can I come to church? Man, oh, man, like, cut that at the knee. You don't even want to bring that up. Like, that's not something that I talk about in the workplace at all, so I don't even bring it up. I was saying if it's a food, really anything, but this was just in the context of food. It would just be, you know, I consume a plant-based diet and y'all don't have, not that most of us are probably not, this is like a training situation, but yeah, I consume a plant-based diet and y'all don't have anything that meets my dietary needs. It would just be presented in that manner, a health manner, certainly A plus, but anything beyond that, no extra detail, no unnecessary details, you know, same kind of rubric with why I don't have photographs and things in the workplace. 650,000 emails. I am extra. In fact, that was a part of what came out today. They said that some of the emails, because I said, man, they are in Washington, D.C., or at least some of the white people in this email chain network during the Obama years. Oh, I know there are some racist jokes in there, and that's what came out today. I posted it on social media before we went live, but yeah, let me, 650,000 emails. If we were rounding up, that would be a million. *61 if you have thoughts to share. Let's see. Folks are spectating, I reckon, getting their thoughts together or whatever it is. I hope if this is evidence that, hey, there is no mistreatment in the workplace, grand. Even still, you should have phenomenal recommendations for things that non-white people can do to kind of get to that lofty, enviable position. But certainly, if things are great, I hope they stay that way. But you should still be making observations, things that are happening in the workplace, correct, incorrect. Even still, I would be hard-pressed to imagine the vaccine mandate and COVID situation is not causing some, at least, adjustments. Even if you're still not being mistreated, things are going great, I would suspect at least some changes in the work environment. But if that is not the case, not an issue. Well, I guess one would be, hey, if things are going that great, no mistreatment, you're being compensated correctly, no wage theft, all the rest, it's going that great. Hey, make sure you invest racism-notes.blogspot.com, racism jongroden-notes.blogspot.com. Listener supported Counter Racist Radio PayPal button is in the top right corner. Links to PayPal, Cash App, Venmo are right there. Even I was able to get my wish list at Amazon corrected. My mail was tampered with earlier this summer, so it has been a tumultuous 2021, much like 2014. But Amazon wish list at Gus T. Renegade. Much obliged for folks who have invested. Hope we have been worthy of your time and energy over the years. Make sure I get in. This is not a broadcast for spectators, so if folks just tuned in to listen, have no observations to share, nothing negative, nothing positive, just to sit and spectate, well, we will wrap up early. We can all go enjoy our Friday. They had the audacity, folks, I think, were teasing me to say that it was like 70 degrees in New York, where it has been brutally cold in Seattle. It was 37 degrees this, like, winter. Frigid. It's not even 37 degrees normally here in the wintertime, and it was 37 degrees this week. So, yes, for those of you all who are in a warm environment, if there's no workplace racism to discuss, folks can go frolic and enjoy their Friday evening safely and, you know, prep for a weekend of constructive activity. Let's see. Yeah, I said that I have been surprised. It is a bummer to have, you know, even if it was just five people, like, man, I'm a little stunned that there are not more observations about what is happening with COVID-19 in the workplace. I know we had Mr. Boo. It was not during neutralizing workplace racism. This was during the compensatory call-in. He talked about even, in fact, losing employment in the New York area, because that's, I know, New York City. I don't know about the whole of New York State. But I think New York City, I know I can just speak for the city, they do have the vaccine mandate for a lot of patrons and employees. And he was saying he was not willing to do the whole vaccine. So he lost employment at a museum in the New York area. That's what I was saying. Like, I would think it would be a lot more folks who are, you know, having to deal with some sort of impact from the vaccine mandate or customers, something, and causing some major adjustments, or even the disruptions that they've talked about for folks who get different supplies and what have you. I know we have folks who do driving as well, but different disruptions for the supply chain as well. So, yeah, I'm miffed that there aren't other folks who are experiencing that and willing to share. I guess maybe if folks are experiencing it, if you can't dial, feel free to email untiljustice@gmail.com, because I do think that that is important, just kind of getting a sense of how things are changing. If folks have figured out anything with regards to these are things you can do, you're taking the vaccine, fine. This is what it looks like in that. I mean, taking the vaccine and having to deal with that, and or if you're not taking the vaccine, if you figured out some things that can be helpful to minimize problems. Either way, I've suggested not talking about all of that in the workplace. I think it just can bring up a lot of unnecessary conflict, even with other non-white people. Can bring up a lot of unnecessary conflict. It would just be about, you know, what are the safety measures that are going to be employed in the work environment to make sure that we're being safe, I'm being safe, others are being safe. And then, it's not going to be, I'm not checking in with everybody else about what they think. Are you getting a booster shot and all the rest? I'm not, none of those dialogues. Even if I worked with all black people, I would not be having any of those dialogues. Let's just, you know, whatever our occupation is, let's focus on that and, you know, leave all that stuff for outside of work hours. Let's see. Yeah, folks are still spectating. Like I said, I find that difficult to believe that that many folks would not have anything with regards to the vaccine and what have you that's happening in the workplace, much less the normal white supremacy, racism, and all that. But if everything is spectacular in the work environment, no problems, no issues, no congestion to speak of, then yes, we'll make sure that we can wrap up early and folks can enjoy their Saturday. I do give an eye of skepticism, because for over a decade at this point, when I talk to black people off the air, 5 minutes and bang, workplace where even people who never talk about racism, white supremacy, like, it comes up immediately. So I always give a curious look. But let's see. It looks like we don't have At least one person not spectating. Bay Area mom should be with us. Let's see.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
Thank you for taking my call. Greetings to you all. Okay, so it was the, what is the employees that in Texas that I think they were fighting so they could use their religion, they could keep the religion exemption option for the people that didn't want to get vaccinated. They allowed that to go through, so they're not going to push that for now. I think that's cool because they're not doing that here. I think we get religious exemption, but only for certain things. I haven't tried it, though. Then something else. Oh, the football guy, Gruden. He, they've been talking about it, I guess, not at my job, but just people in general. And I don't know what to make of it. If they all feel like that, if you ask me, I don't know why everybody's so shocked. I just get agitated because no one's really canceling him the way we cancel everybody else that people may not like. That looks like me. You get canceled instantly, but no one's canceling him. Okay, you removed him, but then you're saying, oh, well, that was, what was that, 10 years ago? Oh, my God, that was so long ago. Oh, you guys, what is this about? Why are they bringing this up now? I don't know. Good question. So it's different verbiage when it's us doing something versus people that are classified as white. Okay, next question. I've talked about that already. Oh, God, explaining is draining. It's just a different feel to me. And I hear the passion in Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp. And I hear how Skip is just, hey, dodging those questions. Hey, all those buckets and buckets of words that don't mean anything to make up for. I mean, that's not just black. He didn't say anything. I mean, you know, those other instances of things. You know, gosh, I'm just pick black. He said other things. So it's just crazy. My workplace racism, I guess. Let's see. Oh, I am on vacation. Oh, last day today. I'll go back maybe Monday, next Monday, the following way, next Monday, maybe. So when I was leaving my AM client, you're saying something. I guess you asking me. She's trying to, you know how they ask you for advice. But remember how I said that when I talk, she likes to, you know, bang my words. Like, you take control of the conversation at all times. And I just like three words. I can say three words. Anyway, what I was thinking just now when you decided to yawn is this. So I don't say anything to her too much. So she's saying something about, yeah, she went to the doctor yesterday. I said, oh, okay. For what? Well, she went because my supervisor told her to go to the doctor to get tested for allergies. So she made a little comment like, well, why would she, you know, tested for allergies? She's not sick or anything. She's only going to be sick. That's only going to happen if she's sick or her nose is running or she's coughing. That's done. So, I didn't say anything. I was like, oh, okay. So she's like, well, so, she, you know, there's no, it's not resolved. She, for all we know, she's got COVID every time she gets sick because her parent couldn't get it resolved. But what she did discover is the child is underweight and she needs more fatty food. And then it's the whole speech about, well, she already has fatty food. She eats this and, well, you know, and she only likes certain sweets and, you know, she, you know, I can give her chips and stuff. That's got fat. And you know what? I don't know. I guess we'll figure it out. I don't know. Now this looked at her. I didn't say anything. And then I guess it looks different too because I got the mask on. So you just see eyes. I got the hat on. So she's kept reiterating, you know, something about fatty food as if I was going to give her a suggestion of, you know, fatty foods that she can maybe give her so she can cut me off and say, oh, she doesn't eat that, she doesn't eat that, so you got to figure it out. So then I'm leaving, and she says, bye, see you on Monday. I'm just like, yeah, not this one, not the one that's coming. It'll be crazy a week without me there to distract the parents. So PM house too, same news. And the supervisor, that's white, the one that's white supervisor that probably speaks Spanish, she sent an email to the parent asking if she can have somebody come for at least 2 days while I'm not there. And so the mom told me, I was like, well, if you want to, I'm here. Go ahead. She's like, well, it's going to be different. So I was like, well, he may or may not, you know, try. Do it. Hey, whatever. I don't know. He'll be fine. I hope he's okay for a week without me. Hey, I need a break. So, yeah, that's my workplace racism. And she told the lady, no, I don't know why, but I'm texting her and tell her no, thank you. But anyway, that's my workplace racism. And thank you for taking my call. I'll meet my left.
Much obliged, Bay Area mom. Congrats for being on vacation. Said that, you know, get out and enjoy. She's in California too, so I'm sure they are not having 37 degree weather down in California. So get out and frolic and enjoy. All of that, like, man, having, I wouldn't care if it was clients, co-workers, like whatever, where they're like sniffling or out and, you know, oh, the allergies, got to go get a test, or sneezing and it's, you know, it's just hay fever. Like, man, well, we got to be sitting around wondering, like, have you had a test? Do you know for sure, like, what that is? And they're not sure. Like, man, all of that is like, yep, I'm going to be on vacation or whatever it is. Like, I would want to be like the supervisor where I don't have to be around that at all. Like, I can just check in on Zoom from time to time and let me know when you get the results back. Like, oof, I would not want to do that at all. Just talk so much about safety and being in charge of your safety, because racist white supremacists do not care about us. We're rubber lips, Michelin lips. They do not care about us at all. So definitely safeguard your health and well-being. As for the folks talking about, how could they not help talk about one in the Bay Area? The Raiders used to play there, so that's kind of their team, so to speak. When I lived in California, they were playing in Oakland. They've moved back and forth from Oakland to L.A. so many times before. I think this is their second season that they've been in Las Vegas. But I'm not surprised that people were talking about it. And like I said, like, hey, I was of the opinion it's not even that these were being 10 years ago. That's not the issue. But it's just he wasn't an employee when all this happened. Like, man, that's quite a precedent to get private personal emails and get fired from an organization where you weren't even employed there at the time that you sent the emails. And yeah, that's just wild to me. And none of the folks at the Washington Redskins, to my knowledge, have been punished. Amazing. But yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that white people were sticking up like, oh man, that's terrible, and messing over John Gruden. It's all this time. I'm not surprised. Those same folks were like, man, you know, the emails that I've sent, man, if they go back to the Obama, whole lots of white, like, I mean, wow. White people would be bursting the unemployment offices if they just go back to the Obama years. Like, we don't have to go back through ancient history. Just start from about mid-2008 onward, and let's do an email check. Buddy. As for the fatty food, now, that should be a dietitian. I would hope, you know, if people are going to take things serious, like, I don't know, maybe they view you as a resource, like in some jobs. They view you as kind of a resource. Maybe you know some information about nutrition and sort of things that, you know, would be helpful for our child to eat. That is, I would hope even the doctors, if whomever the medical professional to say such a thing, that she needs to eat more fatty foods, that they would be specific, that they would have already given an extensive list, maybe even talked with her about some of the foods that she likes, like let's pick out some of the things on the list and do it. That would be the best way to do it, right? That way the child already knows foods that they should be asking for when they go to the grocery store, or things that they want to ask for dinner time, lunch, whatever, on a more regular basis. Like, that would be the best way, as opposed to just sending them off in the wilderness like, oh yes, eat more fatty foods. Next. Because, I mean, that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. For some folks, that means, hey, we can go to McDonald's 5 times a week now, which I don't think is going to be good for anybody, even if you need to gain weight. That could mean, you know, I get to eat extra cheese now. Another one that I don't think would be very helpful for a lot of folks, especially non-white people. If someone were going to say that to me, and I thought it was true, like, oh, you need to eat more plant or more fatty foods, say, oh, okay, get some extra avocados, more nuts, walnuts, you know, pick your cashews, whatever it is, get some nuts. Those would be Dr. Lathan. She's a nutritionist. She would have lots of great information to recommend where you can get fatty foods, and it's not just going to be potato chips. Like, that's another one. Like, that's, I don't think anybody is going to benefit from an increase of potato chips in their diet. Like, sweet potatoes, that might even be a good one. But not potato chips. Much better ways of getting healthy, nourishing fats in your system, if that is what is needed. But like I said, the best way for all of this would be the medical professional to sit with the child and the caretakers. Hey, you need more fatty foods. These are foods that are high in fat that would still be good for you, the good types of fat. This is not licensed to just go and pig out. These are the specific types of foods, and bing, let's think of, you know, ways that these foods can be prepared and that sort of thing, even if it's going to be nuts. Like, you know, it doesn't have to just be eating a handful of nuts. You can get, you know, almond butter and blah, 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 and all that. You can put it in smoothies and all the rest of it. Like, lots of, you know, that would be the correct way of doing it, not pawning you off on other folks and, you know. And I would say, too, that is a shame to have someone who is looking for your resources and then is not even a good listener when they ask, like you said, like you kind of feel like they're just waiting to interrupt you. It's like, oh, no, she doesn't need that. Oh, no, she won't. Like, well, man, can greatly, and thing, I think I said this before, I'm not sure she would be behaving like that if you were classified as white. The anti-blackness is rampant on the plantation, unfortunately. Try as best we can. Let's see. Number again is 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Email untiljustice@gmail.com. Let's see, folks are spectating, and or if we have some other folks who have comments here to share, get the switchboard roll here. Oh, I think we did get some other folks. Seems maybe not everybody is spectating. Right on. Let's see if we get now the switchboard is being a little uncooperative. How about that? There we go. Not one thing, it's another. That's what they say. Let's see. All right, some of the other folks who dialed in with a hand up, line should be open.
Hello.
Greetings, our caller in Georgia.
Hello. Hope everyone's having the best evening they can have. Congratulations to the prior caller for having some time off to take self-care and relax, and I hope, you know, you're able to communicate with your son as well, and hope all is well with him as well. In terms of the Occupational Outlook Handbook, that is a great resource. I have used that. I'm not teaching now, but I think the last two classes I taught, they were not necessarily because they were all black, because one wasn't, but I definitely did show that to them, especially because at the school they were at, I'm just saying they didn't need to go to school, because you hate to tell people that in school you shouldn't go to school. But just to show them, you know, the money they were making in their chosen area, because it was kind of like it was a culinary school. So to show that, even if you you know, not going into that. If you have children, oh, mom, I want to be a lawyer when I grow up, a doctor or whatever. You know, you can start to look into that now. It also lets you know, like, the median wage, the growth potential in the next 5 to 10 years. So it really is a great resource. You know, just something to think about. And even if you have, you know, children, you don't have to go over the whole thing with them. There's a lot to read. But you can go over, especially the salary part. Children always understand money. This is what you want to do in life. This is what you're going to make. That means this, that, and the other. And they can even, you know, you can have them practice. You know, if they want to be a surgeon, you know, cut the turkey at Thanksgiving. I don't know. Whatever. Make, you know, make sure they cut, when they cut paper and stuff, make sure that, you know, exact, but whatever they want to do, you know, you can help them practice. And it'll let you know what things need, what kind of education is needed. Because if your child's going to school for something that doesn't, going to college for something that they don't need to go to college for, you know, you don't want to waste your time, their time, and your resources, financial resources as well. So they can get started with whatever they want to do as soon as possible. I just noticed, I know this wasn't a big thing, and probably, I don't know how many people have thought about this, but Dave Chappelle, he did that special, and he talked about, you know, how the rapper shot a black person. And I looked it up, it was in self-defense. I don't want to disparage that other black person either, but they did shoot another black person to kill them. You know, career, no problem. Said something that may have been targeted towards gay people and, oh, uproar. And the same thing, you know, they talk about how that's comedy. Then on Monday, because that was on Thursday, I think that's supposed to come out, came out. Then, like you said, on Monday, well, the, like I said, the racist comic came out first, whatever. And then he's the sexist and homophobic comic came out on Monday and he decided to leave. So, you know, and I noticed they really did stop talking about any quote-unquote backlash from the Dave Chappelle special because, you know, there's an example. You know, people don't just say things because they don't have anything else to say. So I was, you know, kind of glad that he was proven right. Not that I'm a big fan of his, but, you know, I think we all knew that. But, you know, to have an example so close to what he was talking about, it's like, yay for him. But, you know, I agree with Mr. Sharp because I was thinking the same thing, you know, comments about black people, whatever. Comments about other groups. Oh, you know, outrage. And I know you're talking about going back to the emails. They've been doing this for a while. I know a lot of times in high school and college now, we tell young people, you know, watch your Facebook page. Don't put up pages of you drinking and being crazy and looking a fool. Because some of it you may be underage. Some of it you may be 21. So that might be junior, senior year in high school. But companies, even now, companies are looking at that. You may have had some clips on that, but they talk about that, you know, going through your social media past. So it can't be, I don't know how surprised we should be that they're going back through these personal emails, especially when they were emailed to a workplace. So I don't know how new it is to be careful about that. You know, people are getting in trouble for things. They may work at somewhere, but they're doing things on their own time. And they're getting in trouble, whether it be right or wrong, but they're getting in trouble and fired for things. So it's not that new. I don't believe it's that new. And yes, we should always be careful, just in general. If we're trying to produce justice, you want to be careful for that reason alone. Hopefully that should be enough. But, you know, you don't want to get fired either. Thank you.
Amen for not getting fired. Yeah, that is an important point. They have been going through social media for some years, I would say, at this point, you know, to check, you know, what kind of pictures you had. And exactly, have you been at some kegger party or what have you, or snorting crack at the beach and all the rest of it? So that has been for some time. I guess the email was a little bit, private email especially, like that being a little bit more, newer to me, but yeah, definitely be, you know, I say on a regular basis, when you're in a work environment, you're always talking, emailing, texting, if it's business related, as though everything that you say, write, is being recorded and it's going to be captured for all time. That's so odd. Like, there's a clicking sound. I don't know if that's just my end or where that's coming from, but that is how peculiar. I'll see if I can figure out which. Yeah, that's so bananas. I have to see if I can figure out where that is coming from, if that's on my line or which line it's on. Anywho, but yeah, that's super important about the being, I guess, mindful about what you say, emails, all the rest of it. It is super, never know who might be reading it. Maybe way more than the folks that you originally intended. Let's see. Oh, now I don't hear it. Spectacular. Yeah, but be very mindful about what you put in email. I guess even for younger people, like, that can be a difficult one for somebody who's younger. Now, John Gruden was not a young person at the time of these emails, so he doesn't have that lame excuse, but that can be a difficult one for younger people to grasp, even with social media and that sort of thing. Like, they can be a little reckless with all that. This might be a good example to kind of show them, like, you would be amazed at the life expectancy of some of those social media posts and emails and that sort of thing. Oh my gosh, talk about shelf life. Might not even cause a problem for, you know, a decade, and then nuclear explosion. Anywho, but bravo on the handbook, the occupational handbook. That is spectacular to be able to share that with some younger folks and help them kind of mold their career a little bit better and how they're thinking and the growth of their chosen field, or even a field that they're interested in, to see what it's going to look like 5-10 years down the road, even to get people at a young age thinking in that way about what their career, salary, all the rest, growth potential could look like a decade from now. Like, that is spectacular. Share that with more young folks. Bravo. Let's see. And yes, yay for Dave Chappelle. I think there was, had a report about that for tomorrow. Have to see. There are lots of things. But yes, he got, that was another toxic workplace issue there. They gave out discipline and such for folks bursting in on meetings and all the rest to grouse about no count Dave Chappelle. Transphobic. They didn't even say homophobic. It's transphobic Dave Chappelle. No count black males. Yes. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up. Have commentary to share, line should be open.
Gosh, may I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Good evening, Gus. What I wanted to talk to you about was today, actually yesterday, I got called into the office at my job where I work, and they wanted to give me a verbal warning for not checking my my email at work. And the situation is that there was no accessible terminal for me to check my email. Plus, it was not in the MOU, which is the Memorandum of Understanding, as to you know, that I'm supposed to check my email. It's not binding. But the race soldier went out and found that old training bulletin that I had attended a meeting, and he tried to say that because I attended that meeting that I was in violation for not checking my email because that I signed the training. But the thing is, no one trained me to set my email up. I have to set my email up on myself. So after the meeting, I went over to my work location and asked my supervisor, I said, do we have a computer where I could check my email? And my supervisor said, no, there's no email here. There's no computer terminal here. But while I was in a meeting with him, with my representative, he told me and my representative that there were computers at my workplace, and there was computer at the other place that I work. So I checked both places, the same day after the meeting, and there were no computers. Well, when I got to work this morning at 6 o'clock, a computer was there in a trash bag wrapped up, and it was on the table, and I snapped pictures of that, and then I went over to the other location where there was no computer, and I snapped that picture. But this guy, this race soldier, is real slick because he's trying to fabricate this verbal warning on me, knowingly that there was no computer there. And another thing he's trying to do, my union rep just informed me, is that he said that he felt threatened in a meeting, and I was trying to explain myself to him that I was in violation. So my rep said that, you know, that he said he feels threatened by your presence. So he's trying to give you a reprimand because of my conduct. And I was not aligned. And my rep was right there to be a witness, but he was intimidated by me, you know. So I just tell folks whenever they deal with these kind of people to always snap pictures, because now I got him for lying now. And I went up to the higher-ups, and I told him what he did, how he lied. So I guess he's going to be in some problems because I have evidence and I have everything to hold him accountable for lying. And that's all I have. But I'll keep you updated, Gus. I'll send you an email later on and let you know some more details. Have a good evening, Gus, and thanks.
Bravo, bravo. I'm so glad to hear that's using counter-racism to protect yourself in the workplace. That's the name of the program right there, Neutralizing Workplace Racism. A-plus right there. Documentation. Pictures is documenting. Documentation. You hear the tackiness of what he reported? We're in the middle of a health crisis. People losing their job, losing their health care, and all the rest of it. I'm not coming in and writing you up for a safety violation, or you reckless eyeballing white women in the workplace, or, you know, you sending offensive emails calling people Coon and Uncle Tom and all the rest of it. No, no, no. I'm going to write you up for not checking your email. Where's the computer we check emails at? I don't know.
And one more thing, Gus. In the past, when I dealt with this guy, I documented twice. Where he came and told me, he said, do you know my mom was a black woman? He told me twice, I documented twice where he came up to me and told me, he said, you know, I was raised by a black woman. But I put that in because I'm filing some complaints against him. And I'm putting all this in my complaint, because when you make a statement like that, that's akin to a white person telling you, I have a black friend, or I have a black boyfriend. And to me, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, that seems overtly racist, you know? So I got all these evidence against him. And then I have other evidence, well documented, that he had three people with COVID working next to me that were COVID positive and failed to notify me about it. He had me and an Oriental coworker. I'm the black worker and the Oriental coworker. He had us purposely and wantonly working next to these people that were sick with COVID, and he didn't tell me. And I have everything. I have a timeline documented that what he did, and I have everything documented. So I'm putting everything together now. So that's all I have again, Gus. But and you could give me some feedback if what he told me about him being raised by a black woman, if you feel that was offensive, because I felt uncomfortable when he told me that, too. Thanks, Gus.
Much obliged, sir. Much obliged for the extra detail as well. In terms of the comment, I think frequently in work environments, white people say things to black people to get us to drop our suspicion. They'll say, and especially you already told us that, I guess this guy told somebody else, told another white person that he was intimidated by you, whatever that means, or felt threatened by you, whatever that means. You'd already told some people that. So I think sometimes white people, they'll come in and they will make comments like that, that they had black friends growing up. It could take a lot of different tacky forms, that they had a black girlfriend, I was raised by a black woman, I like the Jeffersons, Bill Cosby, I love Tiger Woods, I love rap music, you know who my favorite artist is, Tupac. It could take a lot of tacky forms, but they'll say that type of thing, be like, hey, I'm with you, man. You don't have to, you know, be suspicious of me, man. I'm with you. Black people are all right in my book. That type of thing. I think it would be... I suspect it would probably be pretty difficult to convince a white person or to get a white person to say, yeah, that that's racist, him saying that he was raised by a black person. I think he said first he had a black mom. I don't know if he said he had a black mom or if he was raised by a black woman. Because the latter sounds like the mammy type situation that many white people can relate to. He was raised, or if his mom is black, I don't know. What, I mean, he could have just been lying, whatever. But either way, I think it might be difficult to convince or get white people to co-sign that, oh, yeah, that's racist, him saying that he was raised by a black woman. Because many of them would be saying the same thing, that, oh, yeah, that might have been my story, too. However, that could just be included in terms of the general environment, work environment and the types of comments that he's made to you over the years about him documenting that he had you and I guess some of the other non-white employees working in very close proximity to people who had tested positive to COVID-19. Maybe he was doing this deliberately to see if he could get you all infected. I would not be surprised at all. I would document, date, all that. If the other non-white person wants to confirm, yep, this happened, great. If not, no problem, as long as you got it documented. I'm sure they have the employee files and all that that can verify all of that. But document, it sounds just document this white person. And it might just be that you have black self-respect, that you're asking questions, you're competent in what you're doing, you're a serious-minded person, at least that's the way that you come on. That in general, a lot of racists, that is enough for them. You know, he's not around here telling jokes and, you know, cutting a fool and laughing and joking and, you know, talking about wanting to go home and watch some football and all the rest. He's not doing those things. That's threatening to me. Threatening, you know, the system of racism, white supremacy. So that could just be what it is. And then him having to go and make up things. It's not even like you did something incorrect. I got to go make up things. And then, like I said, the trashiness of it. You didn't check your email and you broke the bylaws and, you know, we're going to give you a verbal thrashing warning, I meant. You say, well, wait a minute. Is that in the policy and procedure, which I love? You always go back, revert to the manual. And then you go to check in with your supervisor. Do we have a terminal where we can check emails? Terminal? Email? What? Get out of here. You know we don't have no terminal around. Get out. Okay. And then you come in the following day, he didn't say that they had a brand new Apple. They got brand new MacBooks coming out on Monday. They haven't had a MacBook upgrade in 5 years. He didn't say that they got the brand new MacBooks. He didn't say that they got some brand new sparkly computer. Oh, my gosh, look at that. He said it was a computer in a trash bag, which probably would not allow you to check email either. I've never checked my email on a computer that's in a trash bag, but maybe that can be done. Doesn't get any better than that. Picture with, and make sure that we have the date on it. So I get a verbal warning. I guess that shouldn't be written down if it's verbal, but I get a verbal reprimand on, you know, Monday, October 11th. And then majestically, on Tuesday, October 11, a computer in a trash bag, presumably what I'm to check my email on. Why would this even be necessary if we already had the necessary equipment for me to do my job? And this one, we got the twofer. It's not just that I don't even have the equipment to do my job. He said they checked around. They weren't even available terminals. I wasn't even trained. He said they didn't even train me properly to set up my email account. I had to do that on my own. Double win. Mr. Fuller talks about that all the time, that they'll make up something to come around and reprimand us. And if you go through due process as opposed to let me rush you through it and you know you messed up and sign it right here and just agree that you did it and we'll fire you next time. Let's slow down. Like, whoa, what am I being accused of? Didn't check email. Now, did I get proper training on usage of email? Oh, we didn't even finish the training? Okay, so maybe I need to be retrained as opposed to verbally warned and thrashed. Maybe I need to be properly trained on email. How would I even be trained on the computer that's in the trash bag? Maybe we get IT to hook that up first, and then I can be properly trained. Doesn't get any better than tacky. That would just be me. I would not. Saying that something is racist can be very difficult to prove. That was why I think Keyshawn Johnson didn't want to call John Gruden a racist. That can be difficult to prove, like with him saying that he was raised by a black person. But just pointing out failure to train properly and you being reprimanded where you don't even have the equipment and then putting you in close proximity to someone to jeopardize your health and safety, like I think all of those show subversive behavior and him being deceptive about all of this, all of that shows subversive activity in the workplace, incorrect conduct in the workplace, then, you know, they can suss out the rest of it, you know. But I feel like that one is the most difficult to try to explain to another white person, justify to another white person, when you have so much that's, you know, just right there that's very flagrant, incorrect conduct that, you know, inescapable. This is incorrect. You all can label it racist or whatever you want to call it, but either way, it's incorrect. Someone should be reprimanded, and it should be him. And then I should get correct training and a new computer.
Yes, Gus, and then I have another one of the fellow victim. He's a supervisor, and he gave me some inside information, and he told me that this racist told him, he said, you got to start monitoring him. You got to start watch everything he's doing. So he gave me a heads up as to stay like five steps ahead of this guy. You know, he gave me constructive information. He said, yeah, he said to keep monitoring. And then also he got another racist following me around when I'm driving my route. You know, he got this, and this guy that he's have following me around, he's not even my supervisor. So I got all this well documented. So just a little tidbit in there for you to give me some advice on. But thanks, Gus. And I'm having a meeting, emergency meeting with the higher ups on Monday to let them know about this kind of white terrorism I'm going through. But thanks for all your help, Gus. I appreciate it.
Just show the evidence should be, or hopefully it'll be constructive. They can help solve some problems. And yeah, if you need to get any additional training or additional equipment to remedy this, just be appreciated for your hard work and documentation, staying composed and documenting. But that's awesome. If a non-white person helped out and gave you some information that, yes, this terrorist has some sort of vendetta against you, unjustly so, and it's just trying to cause problems and has people following you around in the workplace. So many people have talked about that, having white people who are spying on them and kind of creeping through the hallways and around the cubicle and got to keep an eye on you, or this keep following your route. I got to go around and drive and be a block back taking pictures. Oh, he's driving down, all the rest. Hey, I said consistently we should be functioning as though you're under surveillance anyway in your workplace, whether it's, you know, Alexa or whatever else. So to actually have a white person who, as you said, is not even your supervisor, where that's just, I guess, their extra assignment is just to follow the Negro around and, you know, see what he's up to and report back. Now I know. Not that I'm doing anything different than I would be doing anyway, my job, but great. That just lets me know. Make sure I'm going to speed limit. Document, document, document. If anything happens, if there's a problem.
Yep.
You know, just continue to do what you're doing. If that means taking pictures or, you know, writing something out where you have your own notes, dates and times and everything that happened or what have you. But lots of documentation and just, you know, being really alert about what the policy and procedure is. And now you already know, like, if I miss an email, oh, that's going to be a fine. Oh, got to have a meeting about that. You missed an email. Oh, you forgot to dot your I. That's going to be a verbal warning. I have to have a, I mean, already know that's the sort of environment that we're in. And again, I submit just being a black person in a system of racism, white supremacy, where you are serious, competent, doing your job, mindful of policy and procedure, that is more than enough to be threatening and intimidating to many race soldiers.
Yes, Gus, because I don't joke with them. I don't talk and laugh with them. I go to work, and I just do my job. You know, I told them I'm very taciturn. I don't talk. I don't joke. I don't, you know, I just go and do my work. And I guess that ranks with their feathers, you know, because I guess they want you to be a minstrel. You know what I'm saying? They want you to be a clown. And that will suit them. But because I'm professional, at all times I get to work sometimes half an hour early. And I just, once I get to work, I stay in my car. On time to work, I go to work. I follow Mr. Fuller to a T, you know, so they can't mess with. Hello, Gus?
Oh, yes, sir. My mic was not connected for a second. I love it. I said before I got disconnected, you can't be early, be on time. That sticks out to individuals classified as white as well. When non-white people are punctual, timely, serious about work. Now, I have heard where that can be constructive, where that can be, hey, you know, give this Negro a promotion or a raise. At least they're going to be here on time every day. We don't have to worry about them calling in, being late and all the rest of it. But again, for some racists, seeing a competent, skilled, serious, punctual black person, let's get to terrorizing. That does happen a lot. That is why we have neutralizing workplace racism. We'll see if other folks, if they have any thoughts on I guess including the component about his remark about being raised by a black mom. That's my thoughts. Maybe for other people, you know, they have their own thoughts on that one. The number is 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Let's see.
Can I be heard?
Young academic, yes, sir.
Greetings, Gus, callers, and listeners. I am still working as a long-term substitute teacher. Instead of working by myself like I usually do, I now closely work with a white woman. We share a caseload of 123 students with special needs. Normally, I would not be allowed to work in this capacity, but the pandemic calls for different requirements. People don't wear their masks, teachers and students. I wasn't vaccinated, but I just received notice and I was let go of my employment for a day and then rehired with current negative vaccination status. I was then required to get a weekly test. After receiving notice from my second employer about my status, I decided to get one of the first vaccinations. I was extremely tired and weak a day after. I have heard stories and seen evidence of other employees having to call out after their second vaccination. The white woman who I work with discovered that she has a learning disability in college. And this allowed her to have extra time requirements on her test, along with frequent breaks. From my experience working with her, she is definitely backwards, has me running all around the building for simple tasks instead of letting me know what I have to do in the beginning of the day. She's definitely chaos. She does have an exit strategy that she shares with me. She doesn't even plan to be there all year. It is her first year as an administrator, and like most white people, she plans to use her inner city experience for a higher paying job closer to home. She makes at least $96,000 a year, just bought a daughter a Mercedes, and plans to move away from her private 13 acres. And she is also in a three-person relationship. This is all voluntary information I did not ask for. I still fear white women, so I mostly try and just listen. Thank you, Gus, for the Cows Archive, and that's all I have for now.
Well, now, John Gruden, they said he made $10 million a year. She's not quite there, but over 90,000, like you said, 96K for a white woman with disabilities? I thought it was patriarchy. I thought John Gruden, he was a misogynist. That's what they said. Sexism, run amok. How does a white woman, in with all this patriarchy and misogyny and John Gruden's left and right, how does she get a 96K job and she's a white woman with disabilities? They got ableism. That's one of the isms they talk about. System of white supremacy, racism, everything else is like way, 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 way distant. Like, it's not even second. White supremacy, racism is like first, second, third, fourth, fifth, like first through 10. Is white supremacy racism. We're talking like way back of the heap. Anyway, so this white woman, and I've heard that consistently. Some of that is in Varsity Blues. It gets two mentions for the day where they were doing the same thing. These folks had already figured out every loophole. Oh, I'm disabled, and, you know, I woke up 2 minutes late, so I got to get extra time on the test, and I had a headache, so I have to redo, and all this other nonsense, in addition to cheating, which he probably did some of that too. Like, that is standard operating procedure, ubiquitous. It's not just that we're going to get extra time and all that. We're going to do some flat out cheating in all of this as well. So we get through all that. She's getting her 96K. She got extra time, and comparing that to his own experience where sabotage. You go through all that and get here, so we at least have a competent educator? No. Totally disorganized, running all over the place, and I'm bailing on these folks immediately. Got my acres and all the rest of it. Like, psh, got my daughter a Mercedes. You idiots around here talking about going green and climate change and public transportation. My daughter, who probably is under 25, Mercedes. Living their best life, man. And he said that was voluntary information. I said, hey, you know, going to the work environment here talking about this and that and what vehicles you purchased and what you got for your child and, you know, what learning disabilities you have. Like, whoa. Where do you even have time? Like, don't you have lesson plans to work on? Where are the students at? He said they had over 100 students on the caseload that they're sharing. Like, why aren't we supposed to be doing something? That cannot be the investment, what I'm doing to earn my 96K, talking about my ritzy, glitzy white woman life. Jeez. All that. That's what I had to suffer through my COVID vaccination for. This wonderful, enriching experience. That's why I said I thought it would have to be a number of folks who, you know, all kinds of experiences with COVID, whether you got the vaccine, you didn't get the vaccine, pressure to get the vaccine. A young academic said he did not want to get the vaccine. He said they were coming in and cutting a fool. They're not wearing masks and not social distancing, which I've heard consistently across, you know, fields and different types of work and all that, geographically even. Just this week. The University of Washington, massive institution, like well over 45,000 student body. The students, they just started back in class like maybe 2 weeks or so ago. And they were talking about, you know, how class is going, how's it been, like, because the campus has basically been closed for the past year and a half. And they were like, oh, yeah, nobody's social distancing. They're just cutting a fool and doing it, which is what I said, like, you know, hey, if I had been either a senior in high school when all of this started and they shut school down, or if I was a freshman in college, so you basically missed your entire freshman year, or some folks had to miss both their senior year of high school and their freshman year of college, man, everybody is about to flunk. Like, we are fitting to cut a fool, not for the entire quarter, like the entire school year. We are fitting to cut a fool. So I'm not surprised that people are not distancing and all the rest, which would just make it even more dangerous. He was talking about people there in a classroom environment. Like, I don't know if I would be encouraged then to get the virus, or, I mean, to get the vaccine, or what. But, man, I've heard that. I think some other folks talked about having some side effects and feeling kind of sluggish and not quite themselves for a day or so after the vaccine, and then kind of getting it back together. I guess some of the folks I've also heard have said that happened once they got the second shot. I'm not as sure. I think, at least from what I've heard, folks have said that the first shot has generally not been as bad. The second one might be a little bit more of a strong side effect, but, you know, hopefully all in the name of something constructive and keeping folks safe. Even, at least unless I've been misinformed, even if you are vaccinated, so-called, you can still transmit. You can still contract. Here in Washington State, they have lots of mask mandates for different environments. It is totally irrespective of your vaccination status. Like, yeah, which is in line with what I thought I've seen. Like, just because you're vaccinated does not mean you are immune. It does not mean that you can't transmit. So I don't know why. Sorry if you've been saying that. That's been the whole spirit of what we've had the past 2 years in terms of people just being, you know, reckless and doing all kind, not taking this serious. And, you know, I got the vaccine, I didn't get the vaccine, you know, let's high five and hump and chest bump and act like, you know, everything is cool again. Man, I don't know. I would just be taking notes in that, and but trying to stay safe. That would be number one for everybody, trying to stay safe. And then just taking notes, like, wow, this white woman is just spilling it. And she's in a three-person relationship. We've had that pattern down at the court. Now, listen at the different environments where that comes up. Caller at the courthouse has said that. And that's, you know, public institution people coming in for important information, documents, and legal documents and what have you. Caller that just joined as young academic now, they're working with children. If any environment, like, hey, I know we got sex ed and we got to talk about transphobia and isn't that no good, Dave Chappelle, shouldn't he be count? I know we got to do all that, but I mean, hey, is this the best environment to discuss, like, oh, yeah, I'm in a three-way arrangement? And why are you sharing this information with a coworker that you've known not even 6 months, not even 3 months? School year just started. Why is this approach, not the lesson plan? What did you study in school? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Nah. Get to some trashy bedroom. Now, remember, they just had a black educator. I think he was a school administrator, principal. All he did was post a Facebook image. I think it might have been a little short video. Nothing pornographic. Everybody had their clothes on. He just posted a video with he and his wife, Cowbell, and they were doing some sort of kiss, like, on the beach for their anniversary. I think they had a professional videographer. As I said, they had their clothes on. And they're just doing their little romantic, oh, we've been married, yay, anniversary, woo-woo-woo. They flipped out. Parents, what is going on? This is an outrage. You got pornography on social media. It wasn't porn. You got pornography on social media. He should be fired. Let's tar him. All of that. She's there to a stranger, basically. Yes, we're in three-way arrangement. That might even be one to say, I would prefer not to discuss our personal business in the workplace. I'm not totally for sure if that sort of reveal is just for, like, a black person. I know white people have a tendency to kind of dump on and kind of in a vampirish kind of way where they're kind of sucking the emotional energy out of you to just listen to their problems and be kind of like their Oprah Winfrey where they can just talk and blah, blah, blah. So then the call in Florida, he said it was a white woman where she was kind of talking about she was thinking about having an affair. Like, whoa. We work at the courthouse. We are here to serve the public. If you need a therapist or what have you, I'm sure they have something online that is not anything that you need to be talking to me about.
Gus?
Yes, sir.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
That's exactly it. She talks out loud to herself. She calls herself. She downgrades herself. And I just sit there and in silence. I don't say anything. That's all I have.
If we have any other folks, if they have any suggestions on how to interrupt that, because we've heard that a lot, where I was going to say white women, but white people, period, where they will come in and it's so trashy. And like I said, I don't know. Now, maybe they do. Maybe those emails of John Gruden, now I said they were sending pornographic material. So maybe they do this with other white people. But I've seen a pattern where it's like, oh, we got a little nigger in the workplace. In addition to being our little nigger, you'll be my little nigger therapist, too. And I just get to talk to you about all my little problems and what's going on. And my husband's getting on my nerves. And I think he might be having an affair on me. And I'm having an affair on him, too. Maybe we should just have a threesome. And what do you think? No, 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 no. Like, none of that is appropriate for the workplace. And I think many white people know that is not appropriate for the workplace, but you're just going to dump on the black person and, you know, they can't, you know, get around. And you don't even have to. It'd just be, hey, you know, I'd appreciate if we could not talk about personal things in the workplace. And or they get on that sort of subject, that might be one where, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And then you can just go in and document trashiness again, three-way relationship, date and time, all that. And it just totally breaks that. And I think that might be one they would get the point. Where they bring up something like that, totally off topic from what our job is about and all the rest of it, like, oh, that's happened the last three times that I tried to talk about our threesome. He strangely has to get up and go to the bathroom. Maybe he just doesn't want to hear about that. Oh, spiteful Negro. That totally fine. No problem. But we don't want to talk about that or hear about that. Much obliged, young academic. Like, and imagine the reverse of it. That's how you know the massive inappropriateness of this. White woman who, like I said, they haven't been working together that long on this caseload. He just starts talking to her. Oh, yeah, I'm in an open three-way arrangement. What? What? Clarence Thomas. Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax. R. Kelly, even. Just keep going right on down the line. Bill Cosby, just keep going right on down the line. We had a caller in Georgia last week. She said, if I was LL Cool J, I wouldn't change my name. I'm Todd Smith every time. Don't you call me LL Cool J anymore. Todd Smith. I'm going to come in here and go into my sexual. Imagine the one at the courthouse thinking about having an affair. What? 911. What is going on? That's my opinion. If other folks, if they have a thought, feel free. But I am of the opinion, like, I think that's excellent. I think silence is always excellent. Just not saying a word. Not, you know, they are talking about all that. Nothing to say at all. I also think getting up and leaving, because you're not saying anything, but now I'm not even present. Now you can talk to yourself, because he said she talks out loud and all that. No problem. Keep on talking to yourself. You can think it out. Hopefully you'll be done with all that by the time I get back from the bathroom.
Hello.
Our caller in Georgia. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I was listening. That sounds like sexual harassment to me. And I will look up the policy and procedure and see, because a lot of times sexual harassment, it's not necessarily someone's trying to make sexual advances towards you. Some companies, depending on the size, I know the bigger companies, even if you're just talking about sex in the workplace, it's like, you know, I'm not here for that. And I will look at the policy, see if those are violations, and I will probably bring that up and go, you know, especially, well, And this, I know you're just trying to be here for a year, but you don't want that to follow you. You don't want those kind of complaints to follow you in your future career. And you can explain to them like that, you know, if you don't want to be confrontational. Like, you know, I understand you're going through a lot, but, you know, these things may follow you, especially if the person's talking out loud. You know, someone may report you. You can say, I don't want to hear it, but, you know, I don't think this is the goal of us being here, and I don't want, you know, to supervise or blah, blah, blah. You can act like you're trying to help them get out of trouble, but this sexual harassment, and you're going to stop talking to me about your extra activities. No. Mm-mm. Thank you.
I agree. I agree 1,000% about that being sexual harassment, and to maybe look at the policy and procedure to see exactly how it's worded. Because I would think most school environments, they probably have sexual harassment covered. Enough Mary Kay Letourneau, Seattle's own, have come through that I think that is probably pretty standard in most academic environments in terms of policy and procedure, because they got children too. So, yeah, I would just check and see if it's there. And if so, like, yeah, figuring out if there's a way that you can bring it up where you're comfortable. But, yeah, I absolutely agree. That is sexual harassment. Because, like I said, the reverse of it. Just I think most of us know if that was him, a black male, he is not going to be allowed to just come in and be talking about all kinds. They were calling for this black male to be fired. He wasn't even talking about his anniversary, his wife, three ways. None of that. All he did, social media, all he did was post a video of his wife, Auntie, having a smooch anniversary, cowbell. They went ballistic. Sexual harassment. Any other folks have thoughts, suggestions that they wanted to share, either young academics or his situation, if any suggestions, especially, so we got silence that might work when they get on this, being totally quiet, exiting, reporting for sexual harassment, which I guess you could do a combination of all those two. Let's see. We'll see if any other folks have thoughts or suggestions on that or their own situation to share. The number again, 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Other folks with a hand up? Spectators, we'll give a moment, see if folks get there. Thoughts together. Email again, I guess I should have gave out. UntilJustice@gmail.com. UntilJustice@gmail.com. If you have a thought about either the sexual component and the best way to try to neutralize that, and or a previous caller who dialed in, excuse me, and talking about the mother comment, this, or I don't even know if it was mom, if he, white man who said he had a black person who raised them, they were younger. Would you address that as an act of racism, or, you know, bring it up in a different manner when you go to present your evidence about the unjust activities that have occurred in the workplace, mistreatment that he's experienced? Feel free. Email untiljustice@gmail.com. We'll check, see if other folks have any other suggestions or what have you. So that's at least two other folks that we've heard since Saturday talking about the impact of the vaccine. Like I said, I would suspect it would be many, many. More folks where that's, you know, having some sort of impact about decisions that are being made. I certainly am not, you know, a fan of folks feeling like they have been coerced into medical decisions. I don't think that's a way anyone wants to make decisions about things that happen with their body and health and well-being. Just folks trying to make the best decisions that they can and trying to get through all this as best they can. I use that word experiment. We had the experiment with John Gruden to see how people responded, and experiment with the COVID-19 vaccine situation to see how all of this concludes. Yeah, again, if folks have any suggestions, or I guess, and so much of that is depending on where you are geographically. As things change, some places have much more stricter enforcement, stricter rules about the vaccines mandates than other places. So, yeah, if folks have seen anything that is helpful, information to know, policies to be aware of, please share. We'll check, see if other folks have a hand up. Let's see.
May I be heard?
Caller in Florida? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners, and callers. There is, well, as usual, it's a lot of tackiness, racism occurring. I also get reports from another victim, and she shared with me that a white man, who I think also is a part of the group chat, of course, he made a comment at the front counter, and the that word again, the civil area that's in, you know, where they're going petition and file for divorces and domestic violence injunctions, different types of cases. So he's at the cashier station speaking to a young white woman that got hired by the queen of the Click Gang. So they were, I guess, talking about something about money or something, from what the victim shared with me. And this white guy asked her something like, oh, I guess she must have got an attitude with him. And he said something in the form of a question like, oh, I bet if I was a tall black man, you wouldn't react that way. Or you wouldn't say that if I was a tall black man. So she described the whole counter like everybody got quiet. So it's all white people, or people with a pale complexion that are seated in a linear fashion, except for her. She has dark skin. So he knew she was in the vicinity. And he repeated it. He looked to another white woman, a part of the gang. She didn't say nothing. So she practiced white code. She said nothing at all. So he was like, yeah, and, like, am I right, blank, such and such? If a tall black man was up here, would she react that way? So the white woman didn't reply. So a black female said that she didn't react. She just sat there and listened, and wrote it down. So we concluded, well, she, while speaking to me, concluded that he was speaking about the court director. He's like 6 foot something, you know, he's tall, black male. And I thought that it was, for some reason, some kind of racist, you know, inferiority complex. So, you know, the terms that are used or whatever, Wilson moment in a way. And I was thinking, like, some kind of way that was meant to sabotage her, because they know it's either her or it's either me countering racism in some way. So she reacted as though she them over there to behave in that way. So that was the first one. And I heard him, he said something in the break room on Wednesday It was a white man who got his dishes. He was done with his lunch, going to the sink. He says, "Oh, I'm about to give blank the same guy my dishes or whatever." So the guy responds over, "I'm just going to just put them in the sink, and one of these women can come do their job and wash these dishes or whatever." So, and then he says, "Oh, do you remember, you know, blank, which is my first supervisor? If you remember when I asked him, I was like, are you going to do anything constructive?" And he said, "No." So this guy would say all type of stuff. So he made a reference to him, and he tried to make it seem like he's trying to align with the way that he would speak, but that's coming out of his own mindset, you know. So he's practicing white supremacy. So those two are on him. My third one is a white woman, right? And now she already has an association with two white women in the civil area again. So she retired. So she came up to the front entrance now before you get into where the security is. So she's wearing a shirt, right? Provocative, racist, 1776, and it's got this rifle on it, right? Blue shirt. So this obvious some kind of political is connected to racism. And the victim, the black female, says she noticed the shirt as well. And a white woman was bragging that she brought it. She brought the shirt for her. You know, so I wanted to point that one out because I think she had the intention to come up to the courthouse wearing that shirt to pick up a friend of hers in her vehicle. And there was another retired person who at the end of the day on like Tuesday that they said passed away, had a massive heart attack or whatever, you know, and they sent out this email about it. And, you know, I just did a professional thing. I said, you know, it's sad to hear, you know, condolences and everything. And another victim of racism, she came in to the job, and she sent out this email about she got a business certificate, I guess from, you know, an online university, and she's another black person. So I did the constructive thing. I just said, congratulations. But I knew that somebody was going to practice racism, and another white woman who is in the chat, she walked past her and she was like, "Oh, so where did you get your little certificate from or something? What was that?" So the black female replied like, "Oh, did you hear her say little certificate or whatever?" And, you know, they kind of just went back and forth, and they kind of like to talk like that with each other. But she was, in my opinion, practicing racism doing that. And there was another person that came to the front counter. It was a white woman who was in front of a black male. So the white woman was getting her receipt, right? So she had to stand to the side. And the black guy, he walked up, and then she was like, "Oh, but am I supposed to be done?" So the victim said, the white woman said, like, "Oh, well, why are you serving this nigga?" You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the tone that she took with the clerk at the counter. And she was like, "Well, ma'am, technically you're finished, and I'm moving on to my next customer." right? But she was very entitled, very narcissistic in her tone. Like, you can't, like, are you serious? You can't push me to the side. So she was just waiting for her receipt and was totally just angered that she provided customer service to a black person. She said she noticed that. And I have one more, if I could share. We were at the meeting this morning, and we haven't had a monthly meeting since like March of 2020, I guess, when the pandemic became a big issue. And I stood like in front of the white people, and then like, you know, they wanted us to not shy away from them. So I walked up and stood, you know, more invisible sight, you know, me and another white person. And I got my 10-year plaque for 10 years. So one thing was that the top boss, he said something so tacky. And I think he was doing that to try to provide like filler, to have something to say instead of addressing the racism, obviously, that's going on in the office. So the closest they came to doing that is the white woman that's the warden. She was standing next to him, and she mentioned about the usual wanting to do something for Halloween or Christmas, and that's coming up. And she says, well, you know, we've been segregated, and we just gotta come back together or whatever. So I know I use that term segregated about how the black people, the dark skinned people in the research area. So I know she read my words in a couple of emails. If we're talking about emails, I wanted to mention that and to end off with the emails are very strong with the chat game, because they all tend to, and it's mostly white women, they tend to shift their behaviors and their moods whenever I walk around, and they talk about people, and they have a very strict code, a racist code. And it's definitely something to learn. And that's all I have to share. Thanks for allowing me to speak.
Much obliged. Caller at the courthouse in Florida. Man, always an A+ in white supremacy racism, what it is and how it works. Learn from the experts. Let's see. You got the white fella. Now he said he thought he was going around to try to sabotage, to set up this black female. We had a lot of that today, every week generally. To go in there, he's got this group of white people, black female there who tries to be constructive. You wouldn't say that if I was a tall white or a tall black man. And wait for a response. Everybody's all hushed. Now, I don't know if that's, you know, if he knew she was there and she's going to get up and wig out. Like, we got some, you know, black people and they think they're like, you know, superheroes against racism. So I go in and say something, get them riled up. Like, hey, what are you doing? What do you think you're saying that? What do you mean? I don't know if that was his, because I've said that they'll say things to try to get us to chimp out. So you got to be composure is number one. Best thing you can do something. Nothing, which is what she did, apparently. She said she wrote it down. It's like a cow's listener. That's exactly what I said. You don't say anything. Write it. He repeated it like he waited for her to get her pen out or get her phone together. She could have recorded it if she wanted to. Okay, he said it again. You wouldn't have said that if I was a tall. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Like, they don't mistreat tall niggers? Tall niggers, short niggers, fat niggers, skinny niggers? Anyway, so he says it again, proud white man, so she can write down what happened. He probably wouldn't. I don't know if it was her specifically, although that's what I would think. I'm sure he didn't glance over the fact that we got this one Negro, a troublemaking Negro, apparently, over in the corner. I'm sure he was aware of that, especially he said her desk was irregular from everyone else's. So I'm sure he was aware that she was there. apparently she passed the test. Write it down, take a note, and move on with the day, I guess. I don't know what he was trying to accomplish, but probably something not constructive, which I do remember that from before being asked. I think he said the supervisor, are you going to do anything constructive today? No. Now, what black person can say that? Go to a job. Hey, Jerome, you going to do anything constructive today? Nah. Okay. And be hanging out still, chilling, get all your raises, promotions, everything. And then continuing in that spirit, he goes, and now this is the Rona. I just said we got COVID-19, people, you know, getting fired over they don't want to get vaccinated, people getting sick, and all the rest of it. Get my dishes where I eat my food, I come in, as opposed to, hey, even before the Rona, hey, sanitary work conditions, lots of people like to use the sink, use the kitchen, prepare their meals and what have you. Leave my dishes in the sink. Let them do it. That's their job anyway. Now, remember that before? The fella came in the courthouse and he said, hey, Julie, get to work. He said, that's how you talk to him. Make him get you. You have to show him who's boss around here. You try it. Tell her, hey, Robert, get to work.
I'm going to torture people.
He said, what does it mean to be right, to be white, really? But I mean, who goes to work with that sort of mentality? I'm not here to do anything constructive. I came to torture people, bully people, make trouble for people, leave dishes in the sink and tell them to do it. That's what I came to do. And again, at the courthouse, we were at the brothel and we worked at Chuck E. Cheese. Maybe you can, you know, all right, let's horse around and, you know, miniature golf, who cares? This is the courthouse. Let's see. Speaking of which, now, I don't know what type of dress code. I would check policy and procedure. I don't know what their dress code is, but I know we read Gavin DeBooker. I got to talk about the book club so much today. Not in this program. I mean, just in life in general. I got to talk about the book club so much. Gavin DeBooker has that specifically in his book, and I talked about that a lot. Any sort of promotion of firearms, paraphernalia, anything like that in the workplace, like that is so inappropriate, unprofessional. You want to talk about toxic work environment, unsafe work environment? This is in Florida, man, like Parkland, all these other incidents, the Pulse shooting, that was right in Florida. Why are we doing anything that even sounds like, yeah, guns in the workplace? And that's something political. Like, you're at the courthouse, everything should be super apolitical. We are all about bipartisan operations, as they say. Super apolitical. This is just serving all the people. Why do you need that shirt on in the courthouse? Now, and that's another one. Now, imagine if I don't know if they could wear the same shirt. Black person, you come in, shirt with a firearm on it. I'm going to go work in the civil section for the day with my firearm t-shirt. I don't think so. Not in Florida, not in Washington State, not in South Africa. I don't think so. But I mean, like I said, now I would check policy and procedure just to see, like, is that allowed? One, because it's twofold. It's a double whammy. You got it's political and you got the firearm on it. Like, all of that should be double no. Like, you cannot be wearing political. I can't wear Black Lives Matter shirts here. Got it. Can't wear our LGBTQ pride. This is not a political environment. Just go to work. And you got a firearm on it. Like, we are all about safety. Like, you all got the panic button there and beating people down in the courthouse. Why are we trying to look like we're promoting firearms in the courthouse? Now, I've said, the caller who dialed in previously today, and he talked about them, this white man, racist, feeling threatened, intimidated by him, just going to work, being serious, competent, on time. I've said that is regular system of white supremacy. You show you have some ambition. Emmy, she talked about, hey, I don't go and brag about I'm going to med school and all this, have them try to sabotage me. I said I wouldn't tell folks. If you know, are getting a certificate or you get a new degree or any of your accomplishments, I wouldn't share. White people are just going to be racist. If not, that will motivate them to terrorize you even more.
Black female comes in. She got her certificate. Bravo. Congratulations. You know, keep it up. Keep up the great work. White woman, she wants to. Oh, you got. Let me see your little certificate. Can't just be congratulating. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Let's get back to work. Social distancing. Wash your hands. No, no, no. Let me see your little certificate. That sounds exactly, if folks remember the late Justice Antonin Scalia, where he said, I don't know if these black students, I don't know if they're capable of going to a regular law school. Maybe we have a little smaller law school that they can go to. Won't hurt their tiny little Negro brains. It's always some way where black people just can't be intelligent and accomplished. We can be proud. No, no, no. And I said, you see that it can't be sincere, authentic. Oh, I'm happy. That's great. It's got to be some, you see some of that tackiness leak through that. No, I'm not really. Please, you're just a little Negro. Let me see your little Negro certificate. Okay, you got your little Negro diploma. All right, you're still a little Negro. That's what they think about us. I don't think a lot of us grasp that, but I mean, really, that's what they think about us. And it motivates them to practice more racism against us. They don't get impressed like, wow, we got a real go-getter here. Not at all. Threatening and intimidating. Let's find a way to mistreat her. Spill coffee on her certificate if she brought it in. Let's see. Then the white woman then, I guess the civil area again. So the customers come in and the white woman is in front. Black male is behind her, waiting patiently. He's not calling. Move, cracker. I got business to do. Hurry it up. We didn't hear all that. He's just chilling, waiting his turn. White woman is done. I know myself. I'm not trying to loiter in the courthouse. They got the bailiff. Never know when you might get pepper sprayed. We got the Rona. This is Florida. Ron DeSantis country. I'm trying to go. If everything is done, let's roll. Nah, nah, nah. I'm done. And he's just... I'm supposed to be done? You gonna move me for this nigger? I'm a white woman. I'm here, Florida cracker. I'm here. You gonna brush me aside for this nigger? Well, you're done. Is it? Do you need something else? What's going on? Move me aside for this nigger. Almost sound like she wanted to hit the panic button. Like we got nigger behind me. He's not even supposed to be here. I was thinking myself. I would hit the panic button on her. Like. Ma'am, you're supposed to be done. Panic button, panic button. She's being unruly. I felt unsafe. She won't leave. That's been another example of black male privilege. It didn't seem like she was threatened or scared. You know, this black, tall, black male might, you know, beat me over the head and rape me if I don't move. Didn't sound like that at all. Like, you know, whatever to this nigger. I don't know what he's here. He might be a convicted rapist. I don't know, but I'm not going to move. Think I'm going to move aside and rush for some coon. You got another thing coming. Black male privilege. Let's see. Oh, they had the meeting. I would have been happy to keep that going like forever. Like if we've got through the past year and a half without these meetings, hey, we can keep that going. Let's do it virtual. If we can do it on Zoom, email, like whatever. If we made it through a year and a half and we didn't have to do these get-togethers, man, I think we should just keep that going. There's nothing constructive going to come out of us meeting together again. And lo and behold, immediately they come in. Oh, let's get together. We just miss everybody. Oh, my goodness. We've been segregated for so long. Now, right there, as he said, now, wait a minute now. We don't even really use the word segregated. I know you all
know
the emails. They're into unjust networking around here. I know you read the emails, especially the emails from your troublemaking Negroes. I know you read those emails. Now, not we've all been away. We've all been separated. We've all been socially distant. We've all been segregated. And look in your direction. Now we're back. Does not get any better than tacky. And then they get together and say, oh, yes, we want to give out our Now that we're not segregated, give out our 10-year plaque right on our everyone's favorite Negro in the office. Isn't that wonderful? That's going to be in the newsletter, you know, next time around. They'll have that one cranked up 10 years. Let's get a good photograph. Yeah. Front page, in fact, to brag. No racism here. Look at that. Been here for a decade. President Obama has come and gone. He's still hanging out here. Let's see. And the gossiping. There's so much of that. He's talking about the unjust networking with the whole clique and all of that. So much of that is just rife in the workplace. Like, even if it's all non-black people or non-white people, try as best you can. You are totally above the fray. Not in any gossip at all. Invariably, they're gossiping about black people, but even if it's other white people or whatever the case, like, you are not in gossip at all. People know not to even come and talk to you about that sort of thing. Like, we are about serious work-related things, gossiping about others, and that helps to create an unprofessional and toxic work environment, just like the Washington Redskins. Much obliged, our caller in Florida. Always zaniness down in the courthouse. See, we had another person. At least make sure I don't miss anybody before we wrap up. Who had a hand up? Let's see. There it is. Other folks that we missed totally. If you have commentary to get in, line should be. Oh, did I miss? Oh, no, I don't see them. If you want to dial in, we had 10 minutes left before we wrap things up. Person who we have missed totally, if you have commentary, either suggestion, hopefully we did not miss a suggestion or workplace situation to share. Any other folks, while I'm waiting to see if we get our other caller, any of the other folks who with us have commentary they want to make sure they got in? Maybe they got disconnected or had other interruptions on the wackiness of the plantation. We should be here tomorrow. We always take a workplace racism for the compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We'll be here Saturday evening. And then also Sunday for the Global Sunday Talk on Racism. That one is in the afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon Pacific. Now, I was going to talk, Andrew, in the UK. Now, it's Black History Month, October, in London currently, England, the whole Black History Month. We talked about this before, blah, blah, blah. He sent a report where somebody got in trouble. They had information relating to Dr. Francis Cress Welsing on their site for Black History Month and got in all kinds of trouble for reverse racism and promoting loony theories about albino mutant white people. We'll chat about that on Sunday, Black History Month in the UK currently. All of that is kind of on the back burner now because they had a British PM, elected official, who was stabbed and killed today in the UK. So that's been all the buzz. And even that, they don't have details about the suspect and all that. They said they may be viewing it as a hate crime. Have to see. But as they were explaining this report, they said that this is not the first time that this has happened. That just in 2016, they had an elected official who was killed by a white supremacist. And that's not even what I said. That's what they said in the report. White supremacist. All areas of people activity worldwide. So Global Sunday Talk, quite a few things to catch up on, including the whole COVID-19 situation and all the rest. Maybe they were chatting about Dave Chappelle, too. Let's see if we missed, if the other person, if they were not able to reconnect to share, then and everybody else satisfied? Anything else they wanted to get in?
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Gus, I was thinking about that that situation with the white woman. She moved on to, I guess, become a dispatcher, I believe. And you were right. She was talking about like her relationship issues with the guy. Now, she was practicing deception at her young age, right? In a way to where, you know, the department was pretty much all female, or mostly female, and she was telling them that he was with another female pretty much and had been, I guess, so-called unfaithful to her. But then she put in the context that she and him, which is inappropriate for the workplace, definitely, but she and him knowingly had an agreement to where they they both had some kind of, I don't know if she said poly something, where they had more than one partner, right? But she said that she didn't want to disclose that to the female staff because they would be judgmental of her. So she, I guess, projected onto me being a male that I wouldn't so-called judge her or whatever. So I didn't say nothing but just write it down back at that time. So definitely deception too that she practiced. And there was a email that went out from my supervisor, a white woman, and I think she tried to get me to criticize another black person because she was asking about delivery of paper, copy paper, and I just replied, and in the email it had the black male supervisor in the archives area, and I said that the request for paper has been made and it will be here soon. It's just that deliveries have to be made elsewhere as well, and they're pretty consistent with deliveries. Sometimes it takes a little while longer, and I just tried to speak in the most constructive and professional way possible, because I think she was trying to get two black people to get into a feud, like what white supremacists try to do at times. And she tried to say after that, that you know, well, I appreciate you, and I thank you all for what you do, just the usual tackiness. And she tried to use the word we, W-E. Maybe we can borrow paper from the civil area until the shipment comes in, implying like she actually is going to do something. So there's more racism practiced by white women, of course. I wanted to also emphasize that. And that's all I had. Thank you.
Black self-respect. Love it. Love it. Dr. Welsing would appreciate a healthy dose of black self-respect. That is so common to get black people to fuss and put down other black people in the workplace, or just set up a scenario where, oh, the delivery, it wasn't on time. You don't think they made the order correctly? Mm-hmm. That no count, William. Well, thank you so much. And they'd be like, well, yeah, you know, you said paper wasn't delivered on time and was late. We need paper. I mean, we got to get work done. People need copies and all the rest of it. Hey, the order has been made. I'm sure it will be here in a timely manner. Hey, we got the Rona. It's backlogs in lots of places. I'm sure it'll be here soon. Like, you're not going to get me on just, you know, yes, just dog out another black person and say a whole lot of bad things about them and they haven't been doing it. Like, nope, not getting that one at all. Yet, if there was a problem, I would do my best to take it up with that black person to see if I could resolve it directly with them if possible. But brilliant. That, I think, is the correct procedure, even if you don't like that black person. Mr. Edward Williams Jr., he has a passage in his book, and we talked about it on the program, where he was in a similar situation with a black person that was not exactly his best friend. I'll put it that way. They were not homies. Yet and still, white person called it. Mr. Williams, what do you think about Miss Johnson? And he's, what problem are we trying to solve here? And that shut everything down. Like, I wanted you to say that she's a no-count coon. We can fire her. And I could say, well, you know, I talked to Mr. Williams, and he said you were a no-count coon. Nope, not going to get that one. That falls right back. I'm not into the gossiping. I'm just in the habit of that, not talking down about anybody really here in the workplace. And I'm definitely not going to be talking to another white person about how lame and unproductive this black worker is. Like, absolutely not. Now, speaking of chatting with workers, now, see, the white woman, now, she can say, you know, I'm not going to tell the other CLIQ members that we actually have an agreed upon open arrangement or whatever you want. We're swingers. I think that's what they call it. I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to tell them that, you know, he's messing around on me. You know, he's stepping out on me. And I try a little bit and whimper. And, you know, Count's terrible. He's done all. When that's not the truth. Now, she'll say that they'll be judgmental of me. Now, that's even curious. Why don't you think I would be judgmental of you? Negros aren't judgmental? Is that a rule? I didn't know that. Negros aren't or does she think Negros aren't judgmental of white people, or is it that you're a Negro? So I don't care what your judgment is.
Yeah.
If that's the case, the latter, I don't need to hear what you have to say anyway. Let me just go off in my Negro area since I'm a non-person. I don't really count, you know. Where's the segregated area? I'll leave you in the civil area, and, you know, to do your work. You're definitely not going to sit here and talk to me about a whole lot of debauchery that you all are involved in that you wouldn't dare share with these other white women. Like, nah. And that's why I said, I told you, that is a pattern. That young academic was talking about, I don't know. He said this white woman just talks in her head and what have you. Maybe she does share this with all the other white people that she works with. I'm a little suspicious. And I think sometimes this might be like a, I can kind of test out. If I start with some debauchery, maybe I can bring this black fella into it. Like, we have a three-way. Have you ever been curious about that sort of thing? See, once they can get you talking, hey. And then if this, you know, goes bad or anyway, I'm still a white woman. I can just say whatever. And, you know, Negro was fresh. Can you believe what he? I already know how that goes in the world. I said from before, Clarence Thomas, Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, Bill Cosby, R. Kelly. I'm not talking about whether these folks are guilty or innocent, but I mean, in the end, you could very well end up being just as bad as R. Kelly when what all this started was some white woman engaged in total debauchery and, oh, there's some nigger in the workplace. I talk to niggers. I just talk their ear off, and they sympathize with me and all the rest, think I'm a cool white person, and I can just tell them all my, you know, dirt. Shouldn't even say that. I can tell them all of my debaucherous behavior. And it doesn't really matter. I don't really care, you know. He'll still be the janitor when I leave here. I'll be president of the company, and he'll still be sweeping floors. I would look at the policy and procedure. In addition to not engaging, getting up to go to the bathroom, I would look at the policy and procedure. Does this fall under sexual harassment in the workplace? And if so, whammo, I would get that stopped. Because, I mean, who needs to hear about that from a white or anybody, but especially not a white person? We will call that a broadcast. Dave Chappelle might chat about that tomorrow. Have to see. Lots of things to discuss over the week. Much obliged for folks who chimed in. Hope it was worthy of your Friday evening. We'll be here for the compensatory call in Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Sobriety would be best. We will need well-functioning brain computers to solve our problems if you are out and about. Driving, you're sober, buckled, doing what we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, no brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Shut I'm a up. Victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.